Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Plenty of stuff to get to in the world of sports. The Chicago Bears defeat the Dallas Cowboys last night 31-24, which seems to at least put a nail in the coffin of Jason Garrett. I mean, not now. Doesn't look like anything is imminent as far as Jerry Jones making a coaching change. But you would think anything short of a Super Bowl at this point would not result in Jason Garrett returning, and you just wonder where the psyche of that football team is. But Kyle, I have to give the Chicago Bears and Mitch Trubisky a little bit of credit for not completely folding up shop on the season. Now, do I think he's a good quarterback? Do I think that there are no issues in Chicago right now? Of course not. But a little bit of moxie shown by the Chicago Bears these past couple of weeks.
Let me toss something at you that hit me about midway through the game last night. Mitch Trubisky and the Bears offense looked like it had gotten unlocked, if you will. And did you happen to pick up on the big difference last night? It was pretty obvious.
I don't. They ran the football.
Who ran the football, though?
David Montgomery.
Mitch Trubisky ran the football.
They ran a lot of read option with him.
That we have not seen a whole lot of it this year, and that's what really makes that offense move. And sure, Trubisky looked pretty good last night. But let me ask you, maybe this is unfair of me. Mitch Trubisky was about as effective last night as I think Taysom Hill would be. If Taysom Hill was the starting quarterback for the Bears, I think it would look a lot like it did last night. Because Mitch Trubisky played his best game of the season last night, and it was largely because they stopped putting so much pressure on him to throw, which, you know, is good. They got a win.
It's still gimmicky. It's still very gimmicky. They ran the offense that you're seeing Lamar Jackson run in, similar to what you're seeing Lamar Jackson run in Baltimore, similar to what we saw with Cam Newton for many years before they tried to dial it back with him. Is it sustainable with Mitch Trubisky? Probably not. I just think at this point it's very difficult to imagine him being able to do very simple.
He still missed a couple bad throws last night.
He did, but if they could do simple things, if they could run an NFL offense, they would have tried it. I don't think that Matt Nagy is that stupid. I really don't. Like, if it was possible, you don't think that they'd be like, "Huh, let's just make this really simple. Let's run let's have him make normal reads, and we're going to try to move the football that way," because you see defenses daring him to do that and he hasn't been able to do it. But David Montgomery and Mitchell Trubisky with that read option, it was effective last night, which is partially credit to the Bears and partially, once again, another nail in the coffin of Jason Garrett. God, that is a mess. That team is fraudulent and has been from the very beginning.
Fraudulent.
Look at the talent on that team. I'm not saying that they're the most talented team in the NFL, but they have pieces at every position to succeed in the league. Like, yeah, they've had some injuries and their defense hasn't been as effective as people had hoped, but there's something holding them back, and it's one of two people. It's either the coach or the owner, or it's both. Like, something at the top is holding them back, and I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt and say it's the coach, because they brought in Kellen Moore, their offensive coordinator, to try to open things up, and at times they have, and then you see them at other times. Dak Prescott looks completely lost. He looks really good one week, bad the next week. I think it's partially coaching. But Bears fans, are you bought back in? 319-366-1600.
I mean, you have to be bought in the sense that they're still mathematically in play.
Yeah, they have to win the rest of their games. And their schedule's brutal.
It's not
brutal.
It's not likely. But with a team a defense as good as that, you have to buy in at least to a certain degree, because they're probably not week in and week out, but every single week you know it's possible to be in a close game with a defense like that. And, you know, in a close game, anything can happen. It's the NFL. It's not like...
The Packers, the Chiefs, the Vikings. We'll see what happens. The defense, like, it's not what it was last year.
No.
And
I got to own up to something. I was poo-pooing. You remember coming into this season, everybody was saying the Bears are going to drop off so enormously. And everybody pointed to that stat about the defense cannot replicate the just absurd amount of turnovers that they got last year. And I kind of poo-pooed it. I was thinking, you know, Khalil Mack, a good, strong secondary, playmakers at the second level, you know, they could. But it has not even come close. Everybody was right.
319-366-1600, 4222 says that they need a tall wide receiver that can catch the ball and has a little speed. I look at the weapons offensively. I don't necessarily think that they need much more than what they have. Like I really don't. I think it's about scheme / quarterback play. I think they can win with what they have. I thought last year they showed that they can win with what they have, but I think that if Matt Nagy had a good quarterback, his offense would be good. You can criticize him for and say that he's not been able to win with what he has, which is the coach's job at the end of the day. But it's difficult to win when the person touching the ball every single play can't execute normal things a National Football League quarterback is asked to do. So you could say, yeah, you would think he'd be able to run the ball more, and he'd be able to make things more simple for his quarterback. But if they had a quarterback that consistently, week in and week out, could give them a good effort and not lose them the game, like an average level quarterback, I think they'd be fine. I really do. And I still believe that they need to give Mitch Trubisky the rest of the year to see what he has. But you have to address at least bringing competition in the offseason and see what plays out at that position, because you can't go into another year with the window being open. I still believe their window is open. They need to get healthy defensively. They need to get healthy on the offensive line, maybe patch some things up there. But this team can win. I think it has enough talent. All of a sudden, you're seeing Anthony Miller being used a whole lot more. All of a sudden, you're seeing certain other receivers getting involved and David Montgomery getting involved a little bit more. And that's encouraging.
We're seeing the Bears are entering really dangerous territory, because Trubisky just had his best game of the season. The offense looked serviceable. And what's going to be dangerous about that is, because like you just said, the Bears are coming to a decision point. They have to decide what they want to do with Mitch Trubisky. And this evaluation of him through the remainder of the regular season, it's going to be crucial in that decision-making process. But as a Bears fan, I want the team to do well. But also as a Bears fan, I kind of don't want Mitch Trubisky to play so well down the stretch here that the Bears decide it's not a concern anymore.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, like,
even if he plays well, they have to bring in competition.
Yeah, like you don't want the Ryan Pace to go back and say, "All right, I gambled on this guy. This is my guy, and look how he played down the stretch. We're going into another year. He is our guy.
Run it back." Yeah.
Like he look at the way he played once they were they're not out of the playoff picture. I get it, but once pretty much they had to win the rest of their games in order to even entertain a wild card spot, look at how he played. And that's the weird thing about him. We've seen at times in his career when there are really high stakes, or like there's like a tough mountain to climb, all of a sudden it just clicks for him. Like in that NFC champion or the NFC divisional round last year, that final drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does nothing for 2.5 quarters.
He's got a little gamer to him.
he did nothing for 2.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden, he leads them on what should have been a game-winning drive against one of the better defenses in the NFC. And that's what's always going to be infuriating about him. I just don't think he's ever going to be the consistent quarterback that you want him to be. But he's always going to flash the ability that got him drafted number two overall. But 319-366-1600, Cyclone Tim says a great quarterback cures all your ills. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Now, that's not to say that you necessarily need a great quarterback to win a championship, because we've seen it done without, but you need a competent quarterback to win a championship, and one that you trust in big time situations, and the Bears don't have that. But Kyle, I know we're going to get to Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse at 5 o'clock, but Iowa and Michigan tonight, your initial thoughts?
Tough matchup. The biggest matchup on the floor is going to be John Teske, right? Teske? It's going to be John Teske against Luka Garza. You know, Garza's playing, John Rothstein said earlier this week, Garza's playing like an All-American. But he's going up against Teske and somebody who's actually bigger than Garza, quite committed defensively. That's going to be a big-time matchup. But then, you know, if Garza can get the upper hand in that matchup, I still go back to who is going to be checking Xavier Simpson. He is what makes that entire Michigan offense go, and I don't see anybody on Iowa's roster who I know for sure is going to be able to shut him down. And so if you're not able to stop Michigan's offense from being initiated, it's going to be a really long night. I think the one guy who could play into that is Joe Toussaint, but we don't know from night to night how many minutes he's going to see.
Iowa fans, would you be happy if Iowa just kept it close in Ann Arbor? 319-366-1600. Is that enough? There are going to be nights that Iowa gets blown out during the course of Big Ten play. It happens every year. And I know there's a lot of overreaction when that happens. When last year, after resuming Big Ten play in December, they went on the road to West Lafayette and got the doors beaten off of them. They got absolutely crushed by Purdue, and there was a lot of panic. Oh no, here we go again. Well, those nights are going to happen. They're not instantly just going to become an elite defensive team. They're not instantly just going to become a team that can go on the road and beat the upper level Big Ten teams. I don't know if it's going to be tonight, but there will be a game or two this season where it looks very ugly. It's very possible that it's going to be tonight. But 319-366-1600. Would you just be happy with them keeping it close? Let's go to Phil in Iowa City. You can follow him on the phone line. Phil, go ahead.
Okay, so here's the thing about being an Iowa basketball fan. Like, I want them to keep it close, because that's awesome. But then, undoubtedly, a bad call will go our way, or we'll do something stupid, and then we'll lose, and it will be stupid, and it will suck. So, in all reality, like you want to win, and that's about it. Because a big blowout loss will make you think that we suck again, and a close loss will make you kind of feel good. But at the end of the day, you know, you didn't win. So,
okay, Phil, how do you feel about this team at this very moment? Are you okay? Well. How do you 319-366-1600? How do you feel about this team at this very moment, and would keeping it close this evening be a moral victory?
Here's one thing I'll say. What I absolutely want to see the Iowa basketball team do tonight is not let Michigan shoot 50% from the floor or say 45% from three. I don't want to see, I at least want to see them put up a fight. Come out and try to be feisty, try to be problematic defensively. Because how many times, you know, even against, you know, lesser opponents at times, how many times have we seen over the past few years Illinois shoot 60% from the floor and 50% from three? I just want to see a little engagement. And because if anybody out there who's saying they just want Iowa to keep this close tonight, that's going to be done. It's going to have to be done with a little bit of action on the defensive end.
37-39, Michigan is going to be blue after we're done with them. Now that is the eternal optimist right there.
Hawks by 10.
This team is going to be judged on how they do against the Penn States, the Illinois, the Rutgers, Northwesterns, Minnesota's, Nebraska, Wisconsin. Can they be better than those teams? It's possible. But I think right now the top five in the conference are spoken for. Can they pick off a win against one of those top five teams? Or two? Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Ohio State. Who am I missing? Maryland.
Maryland.
Can they win a game against one of those teams this season? I still have no idea what to think of this team. Not a clue.
What's your gut feeling?
No, I don't have a gut feeling. Usually I have a gut feeling. Usually, maybe sometimes I get it confused with the spicy burrito that I had for lunch, by the way. Fantastic. But I'm out in the cold because of Jordan Bohannon.
Okay.
What are they going to look like if he can't play?
And I'll give you a little sneak preview. We're going to get to this on Love It or Leave It. I am super confused with what they're doing with Jordan Bohannon especially with the news earlier this week that he's already not practicing because he's having too much pain in that hip. What do you think is the likely outcome? Do you think Bohannon plays the whole season?
No.
So
doesn't seem that way. They're just trying to get a couple more wins before on their resume before they have to play without him.
But why though? Because like you just said, what is this team going to look like without Jordan Bohannon? Who are they going to rely on? I don't really have a guess.
And the scary thing is the way that Joe Wieskamp has played. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been... He hasn't taken that step forward as like a guy who is going to score 20 points a night. Because when you're talking about Jordan Bohannon, what are you replacing? Points. You're replacing pure points. That's
spacing.
What he gives you. That's really the one thing that he does better than pretty much anybody in the Big Ten, shooting the ball. And to replace the offense that he's going to give you, it's going to be a team effort. That's still the biggest concern for me at the time. 319-366-1600. What we need to do right now is we need to get you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. If you're planning on a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home, check out the all-new window line at the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City.
The Iowa basketball team will dip its toes into Big Ten competition tonight as they travel to face fourth-ranked Michigan, a team that's leaped 22 spots in the rankings after beating North Carolina and Gonzaga before losing to top-ranked Louisville. That game will tip off at 5:30, so we're going to keep you updated as we go. The Iowa State women downed Alabama last night, 75-66 down in Tuscaloosa. Kristen Scott led with 20 points and 8 rebounds, both tied for game highs. Ray Johnson, Enos Nezuqua, and Ashley Jones each joined her in double figures, so they'll now redirect their focus to the Cy-Hawk game. The Cyclones host the Hawkeyes next Wednesday. It's a big weekend coming up for the UNI football team, matched up with South Dakota State in the second round of the FCS playoffs. The Panthers suffered their worst loss of the season at the hands of the Jackrabbits less than 1 month ago, 38-7 on the road, and now they're right back to the scene of the crime tomorrow. The good news is that the Panthers are working on getting a bit healthier the deeper into the season we get, so somebody like Deion McShane should return to a larger role this weekend, and even Briley Moore is said to be doubtful, but possible to play. That game's going to kick off at 1 o'clock, but we'll pick up coverage on our FMs beginning at noon. Before we get there, we've got the girls from Cedar Rapids Prairie hosting Iowa City West tonight on all three frequencies. But then tomorrow, in addition to UNI, we'll pick up coverage of the Big 12 Championship on the main gym at 10 and the ACC Championship on the main gym at 5:30. And then on Sunday, we'll finish the weekend with Ravens, Bills, Broncos, Texans, Chiefs, Patriots, Chargers, Jags, and Seahawks, Rams.
David and Hudson on the Hertine and Stocker text line asks, shouldn't they find out what they'll look like without J-Bo earlier rather than later?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be later.
What is the argument for having him out there? I am not seeing it. I know.
Do they still have hope that he'll play the rest of the season?
That would be the one thing that makes it make sense, but
he's not practicing.
Yeah, he's already in so much pain, he's not practicing. That does not bode well for his chances of playing an entire season.
We're going to pick up this discussion during the big hour when Rob Howe of Hawkeye Nation joins us. That'll be after 6 p.m., the third and final hour of the Friday program. What we need to do right now, we need to take a break, and then Lee Sterling is going to help you make some money. He is on a tear, 19-6. He has been over with the past 5 weeks on the show. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports breaking down college football and Championship Saturday. That is on the way after this break.
It'd be nice to carry Lynn County REC around in your pocket, huh? You know, if you want to pay your bill.
It's right here in my pocket.
Want to check how much energy you're using any time of any day?
I'll just reach into my pocket.
Report an outage.
In my pocket.
Energy rebates are the latest from Lynn County REC. You guessed it.
Pocket.
It's that simple. All you need is the Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Then you can pay your bill, check your daily energy use, report an outage, etc. right from the phone in your pocket.
In my pocket.
If you're app savvy, just pick it up in the Apple app or Google Play Store. And if you'd like step-by-step instructions, that's a snap too. Get them at LynnCountyREC.com or, even easier, hit up YouTube and watch Lynn County REC's Smart Hub video. Once you've got it ready to go, everything you need from Lynn County REC is right there in your pocket.
Pocket.
See how easy that is? The Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the handy benefits of membership with Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Come January of 2020, Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7. If you don't upgrade, the probability is very strong to get viruses. The audits that we've been currently doing, we tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced to know exactly where they're at in the process.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at LinderTire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at LinderTire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at LinderTire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Your life is full with good friends and family topping the list. Create an even more welcoming space for them this holiday season with elegant cabinetry from Decora. Meticulously handcrafted, solid hardwood, custom milled cabinets. Whether you envision a gleaming new kitchen, impressive entry, or updated entertaining area, Decora has discriminating details at an approachable budget. Consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
The first hour of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. Todd is out today. He will be back with us on Monday. Championship Saturday is tomorrow, and plenty of fantastic matchups around college football and another great slate of NFL games coming up. And the guy joining us now, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, joins us every Friday during the football season for a segment we like to call Odds and Ends. Lee, happy championship week. I know you're always excited about this week.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun week, and can really sit back. You don't have to, I don't have to watch three or four games at one time, or sometimes even five. Can really take it in, and so much is on the line. So you find out. I love to take notes in these games because you find out what these teams, it's not just they're playing like a regular season game. They will throw everything out there because in a lot of cases, this is a case maybe going to the college football semifinals or someone like, let's say, Memphis or Boise State getting to a January 1st bowl. So they'll do everything they can to
to try to win.
Yeah, I'm hoping my Memphis Tigers. I'm not scheduling the trip to the Cotton Bowl just yet, but I'm hoping that we can schedule that come Sunday. But you're on a 19-6 run, and let's start with the game tonight. We usually start with the Big Ten, but let's start with the game tonight. The Pac-12 championship game, Oregon and Utah from Santa Clara, and I'm looking at this line. Utah needs this win to try to get themselves into the college football playoff, and they're a 6-point favorite in this game.
So I think this is one of those games you have to really watch the weather. And I am not going to put in a wager until I see what's going on here when they start the telecast. And if it's like I think it's going to be, they're forecasting 80% chance of rain and 20 to 30 mile an hour winds. If that's the case, I like Utah. And the reason I like Utah is Tyler Huntley, a dual threat quarterback. He's run for 5 touchdowns. Now, Justin Herbert is mobile, but just not at the same level of a Tyler Huntley. And then even, I mean, the running back Moss, Zach Moss, seen him play down here in Fort Lauderdale. I saw him play once in a torrential downpour. He plays, seems like, better in bad weather. So I'm really looking at a Utah team that's getting better and better, number one in defense in the conference by almost 100 yards less allowed than the number two defense, which is Oregon. And Oregon struggled. They won 24-10 last week against Oregon State. When Oregon State was playing a backup quarterback, give me Utah 20-10 over the Ducks.
We will move on to the Big Ten now, and big numbers like this always scare me, especially in conference championship weekend. But Ohio State, as dominant as they've been all year, they're a 16-point favorite over Wisconsin this weekend. What do you think?
Okay, so a big number sometimes scares you, but look at this game, and when you look at this game, you say, how can Wisconsin win or keep it close? I think they need a snowstorm. I really do. I don't know how they can match up here in this game. So they're playing indoors, fast track.
No snow.
Ohio State and the skill players. They got more team speed. Every position except for running back, which might be about equal, Ohio State has huge edges here. Ohio State's offense averaging 50 points per game. Their defense, fourth, and first in run, pass, scoring, and total defense here. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Ohio State boat races Wisconsin 45-16.
Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports joining us. And if you've been listening to his segments every week, you've been making some money. Another winning week last week. He is on a 19-6 run. And Lee, we're going to keep it going with the SEC championship game. Georgia looking to cement their final playoff spot. They are a 7-point underdog against LSU in Atlanta. And I guess my question is, can Georgia score enough to stay with LSU or to keep it close?
So when I look at their offense, they're averaging 25.5 points per game in conference play. The question is, can they probably get to the lower mid-30s? I think they can. LSU allowed 37 to Ole Miss, 38 to Vanderbilt. Then you look at the offenses, LSU's offense, them in Ohio State. I mean, these are two of the, maybe the best 25 offenses we have seen in, oh, God, maybe the last quarter century. They're putting up LSU's offense 500-plus total yards, 10 of the 12 games. Georgia, if you look at just the numbers, they gave up 20 points in a game to South Carolina, but one of those scores was a pick six. Take that out. They have not, their defense, given up more than 17 points in any game. And this is like the modern era college football. It used to be, you saw, you know, Alabama and Auburn, they'd play to a 17-10 final. We've seen scores in those kind of games and better teams, 48-41. So the Georgia defense has a chance. Are they going to hold them to 17, 20 points? No. But if they can keep everything in front of them and make LSU drive 12, 14, 15 plays and go down the field and earn it, nothing cheap, and maybe get a couple takeaways, I think they got a chance. And maybe the most important thing here is motivation. LSU is most likely in the college football playoff, regardless of the outcome. Georgia, they need to win in. I don't think they're going to do anything once they get into the Final Four, but if they win this game, like I said, it'll be a monumental upset. I'm going to take the 7 points here. I have Georgia winning outright, 34-31.
This Big 12 championship is maybe kind of the most interesting to me, because they currently, Baylor and Oklahoma, both at 11-1, ranked 6th and 7th. They would appear to be the furthest away from a playoff berth, but you just never know. It's possible that the winner of this game winds up with an argument to get in. That being said, Oklahoma's an 8-point favorite. How do you see this playing out?
So 3 weeks ago, Baylor played their best half of football, and they're sitting up at halftime, 28-3 over Oklahoma at home. They still couldn't win the game. I mean, Oklahoma makes adjustments in halftime, and what do? They win the game. They're the better team. They controlled the clock for 60 minutes. They first down Baylor 34-18, and OU's defense since that first half has played much better the last three games. Less Baylor is maybe +2 in turnover ratio, and they can all of a sudden start running the football. I think they got problems. I like Oklahoma big here, 42-17.
Let's head to one of the most interesting games of the week in the National Football League. The Kansas City Chiefs are going into Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots, where the Patriots' defense has been absolutely outstanding this season, and the Patriots are about a 3-point favorite in this game.
So, love watching Bill Belichick squirm after he loses a game and feeling really uncomfortable when he gives that press conference. A lot of fun. Him and Nick Saban, it was like the Quinella weekend last weekend. Here's why I think New England's in trouble. Gronk's not coming back. Deadline has passed. Their receiver's just getting no separation. And why has Kansas City's defense all of a sudden gotten better? What they do is they use number 49, Daniel Sorensen. He was last 4 or 5 years, been kind of a backup, for special teams guy. They put him in almost second and third downs, and he blitzes, covers, makes tackles before the first down marker. Perfect situational guy, like a striker, middle linebacker, and put him in there, and they're healthy now, and they're starting to understand the Steve Spagnuolo defense here. They're not having breaks in coverage. Patrick Mahomes doesn't even have to play his best game for them to win right now, I believe. So I like Kansas City. I think they pull the small upset here and get a small measure of revenge, 27-24 over New England.
Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports joining us for his weekly segment, Odds and Ends. And Lee, your game of the week is the Denver Broncos traveling to Houston to take on the Texans. And tell the folks how they can get it.
Just call 800-400-9741. I have a real strong opinion on this game. Also, we do basketball, and basketball's been incredible lately. Had, for instance, last night we had High Point. They upset Elon. We had that big almost upset with Furman getting 12.5 points. He should have won the game outright. They lose by 3 in overtime, but cover easy getting 12.5 points. I'll give them an NFL game, that game, and also top 2 college basketball games I have tonight for free. All they need to do is call 800-400-9741. And get 3 free games. Just give us your email address. We'll email them to you. They want to hop on board through the Super Bowl. We have championship weekend. We've got 4 weeks left of the NFL season, 44 bowl games, NFL playoffs, and Super Bowl. No one hotter. On the website, it says Save 100. Brings it down to $397 for your show only. No other show. And it's not on the website. If they use coupon code SAVE200, they can get from now through the Super Bowl. They put in coupon code SAVE200, just $297, available right now, ParamountSports.com.
So, Lee, just to be clear, 14th-ranked Auburn was 7-0 going into last night.
Right.
Matched up against Furman. I don't even know where that is. You were on
in
that
North
game.
Carolina. No, South Carolina.
You were on that game, though, last night.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There
I'd
it is.
Something. I'd watched a Furman game earlier, so we tape every single game that's out there. even if it's on a computer, we'll tape it and look at it later, and found something in the way that they run their offense that was going to give Auburn problems. So may not be the most high-profile games each night. In fact, we're playing some low-level conferences games tonight. These are not Power 5 conference games, but they pay the just the same.
Yeah, as another person who joins KGYM Radio's airwaves says, it doesn't matter the magnitude of the game, they all pay the same. Lee Sterling, right. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports.
We're going to take off next week because it's just NFL action. We'll come back in 2 weeks, and I'll have our college football bowl extravaganza segment.
We will be excited for bowl action. Enjoy the weekend, Lee.
Thanks, guys.
Lee Sterling of Paramount
Sports. That guy's
Sports.
No joke.
So, let's see. He likes Utah. He likes Georgia plus the 7. He likes Ohio State to boat race Wisconsin. He likes Oklahoma to cover up that spread against Baylor. And he likes Kansas City plus the 3 against New England.
And he liked Furman last night.
And he liked Furman over Auburn.
That is incredible.
Furman over Auburn. I love championship weekend. I know that there's some debate as to whether or not it should go. And I can see the argument there. I don't necessarily think that it helps certain conferences get into the college football playoff, but you're able to track a lot of really good football games, and tomorrow is going to be no exception. In that game tonight, I was sort of looking at that Oregon money line, and now Lee might have talked me out of that, especially if it's raining. If it's raining and nasty, Utah plays a much tougher a much more conducive brand of football to withstand weather, and which is what they're going to get tonight. Utah's defense has always been good under Kyle Whittingham. I kind of see a lot of comparisons when I cover the Pac-12 between Kyle Whittingham and Kirk Ferentz. Like, they share a lot of similarities stylistically to each other and how they run their programs, and sort of the same problems, the same problems that each program faces as far as recruiting
exactly
exist, and they both are successful at what they do. And if you watch that Pac-12 game tonight, Utah's offense might be a little bit more of a spread, wide-open offense, but a lot of the same things exist. Utah plays ball control offense. They dominate defensively. And that's sort of been Kirk Ferentz's MO now for 20-something years. And Kyle Whittingham has been at Utah now for over a decade. He took over for Urban Meyer when Urban Meyer went to Florida. So I'm excited for that game tonight, and plenty of you have your eyes on any of the championship weekend games?
Well, they're all going to be really good games, but the thing that I'm most interested in, and I mentioned it when we had Leon, tell me if you think I'm crazy here, but the winner of that Oklahoma-Baylor game could have a chance to get in. If LSU beats Georgia, Georgia falls. If Oregon upsets Utah, like I don't think either of us think will happen, but if it were to happen, you're four and five lose and drop. All of a sudden, you're looking at the winner of that Big 12 game, who for most of the season I didn't really think had any business in the playoff, but it's going to be hard to keep them out.
At first, I said if Utah wins, they're in. I don't think it's that simple. I think if Baylor beats Oklahoma, Baylor is not going to get in. Utah would get in if Baylor won and Utah won. But if Baylor and Oklahoma win, and Oklahoma has the more impressive game, there is a chance that Oklahoma could jump Utah if the committee decides that is correct. It's tough. You're going off of resume versus eye test in this case. Utah has been dominant against their Pac-12 schedule outside of that game against USC. They have been rolling through their conference, but they haven't played anybody.
I want Utah in.
I'm with you, but they've looked more dominant, but they haven't played anybody. Oklahoma has been skating by and not necessarily dominating and playing things close, and they lost that game to Kansas State and getting down early and turning the football over and being a sieve defensively. But they have the wins over bowl teams. They have the wins over top 25 teams. They have the better resume. So this is a situation where it's going to be tough if Oklahoma wins and if Utah wins, because there's not any big way that you can dock either of those teams. They both will be conference champions. They both are going to be very flawed in with their resumes. And one team has a better resume, but one team has looked way better on the field. It's tough. It's going to be very tough for the committee to decide.
And again, I say, and I feel like every time I say this, it's in relation to the Pac-12 getting screwed. If that happens and Utah wins their conference championship, is 12-1, and doesn't make the playoff, we're one giant step closer to that 18 playoff.
Yeah. We are. I don't know how I feel about the 18 playoff. I love the. I think that four is good, but
four allows room for somebody to get left out.
It does,
and you're going to have an entire.
It does, but
you're guaranteed at least one entire conference. You know, really upset.
You're guaranteed one entire conference and five group of five conferences really upset. And as Bill Bender said the other day, if we're going to do eight, let's get it right. Let's make sure that it's ironclad. So we're not talking about moving to 12 or 16 because that's too much.
I think you take your Power Five champions, you allow for two at large from the Power Five, or I guess, but then, okay, you get your five Power Five champions, you get your one. You're taking the best team from the group of five, so that's six teams, and then you've got two at large.
So, and that's I see where people say, okay, conference championships should mean something, but I'm looking at the NFL right now, and I'm seeing the possibility of the Dallas Cowboys at 7-9 hosting a playoff game against what could be a 13-3 or 12-4 San Francisco 49ers team, and that. That's what I like about college football. We don't have that. We don't have that. Yes, it's subjective. It gets
That's
people
bizarre.
Talking. It's provocative. It gets the people going. But you avoid
no,
that.
Doesn't.
You avoid all that stuff. You don't have a conference champion out of the Pac-12, a 9-4 Stanford team on off years getting into the playoff. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that. If you do eight, would you'd put the qualifiers in there? I've heard people say that you put the qualifiers that one from each conference has to get in. And then you have room for three at large.
Yeah,
is that going to include
three
the
at large
group of five?
Exactly. Yeah, I think Memphis at 12. If they go on and win their conference championship here, Memphis at 12-1. You know, maybe they're a group of five, but. You know, they've played like a top, roughly
right.
top 10 team.
But I worry about years when there's like a 9-3 Boise State team who's the best team out of the group of five. Like, would you take them? You wouldn't have to. See, that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of things that we need to figure out if we're going to go to the 8-team playoff to make it as iron. You're never going to have a perfect system, but to make it as ironclad as possible. Because to me, taking the best teams is what I love about college football. There are too many teams to go by division and go by conference and just strictly say that, nope, you have to win your conference. No, you have to win your division. Well, like Alabama a couple years ago when they won the national championship and they lost one game on the road against Auburn, didn't get in the SEC championship. In other leagues, that would have kept them out of the playoff. It didn't in this case. And I think that can be a good thing, no matter how much you think that the committee favors Alabama. And at times they do. At times they do. The committee needs to get a better handle on all of these conferences. But right now, this system is doing exactly what it was designed to do. Spark discussion and promote the sport. And will going to eight cheapen it? That's my biggest question. I'm not opposed to it. I'm just asking the questions that need to be asked for us to get to that point. But what we need to do right now, we need to step aside. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one and get you ready for hour number two, where Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse, the managing editor of the SB Nation network site, will join us to preview Iowa's contest against Michigan in just over half an hour in Ann Arbor. We'll get to Thomas and the end of hour number one after this break.
Amazing deals are going on now during Menards Christmas catalog sale. Stay safe this winter with Rain-X weather beater windshield wiper blades. They provide a smooth, clean, streak-free wipe. The all-natural squeegee rubber resists cracking, splitting, and tearing caused by cold weather. Wiper fluid and salt. Available in assorted sizes, they're just $5.99 each. Plus, give the perfect gift this Christmas with the Menards gift card. Prices are good through Saturday, December 7th.
Four seasons greetings to you all from Menards.
On KGYM, you've got sports and the gym class. On Smart FM, you've got class, music class. Our Smart Rock professors will teach you all there is to know about Smart Rock. Tunes you know and love, live tracks and B-sides. and great songs you just plain old forgot about. With a library spanning multiple decades, our professors dig deep. This isn't your typical classic rock station. This is Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Holiday Inn Express wants to let you in on a little secret. Members can now get up to 30% off at HolidayInnExpress.com during our Cyber Week sale. We'll even throw in free breakfast. Just kidding. Breakfast is always included in your stay at Holiday Inn Express. Book now and save at HolidayInnExpress.com. Terms apply.
The Home Depot is giving Santa's Workshop a run for its money with free power tools from top brands like DeWalt, Milwaukee, Rigid, Ryobi, and Makita. Buy a select power tool or battery kit from any one of these trusted brands and get another select tool from the same brand free. Even Santa can't beat that. Free select power tools from top brands only from the Home Depot Gift Center. More saving, more doing. Valid through February 2nd while supplies last.
Before I got married, my dad told me, happy wife, happy life.
Really? Mine told me, get her bling, you'll be king.
That man's a genius.
Your JCPenney associate will help you find something that sparkles as much as she does. Shop select fine jewelry up to 60% off. Plus, save an extra 40% with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney rewards members get select diamond jewelry for just $25. JCPenney. Offers valid 12/5 to 12/11. Credit offer subject to credit approval. $25 diamond jewelry excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. See jcp.com for coupon and details.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, sweet new phone.
Yeah, I just switched to Boost Mobile and got four free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones. From the bottom, from the cane, from the struggle, from the pain.
Yeah, I got the four free phones part, but did you just quote Pitbull's song there?
No.
Yes, you did. Listen.
From the bottom, from the cane, from the struggle, from the pain.
What? I'm just telling you about Boost Mobile's super reliable, super fast network. I'm Barat, click clack, now they want to take it back.
There, you just did it again. Right after the part about the super reliable, super fast network. Listen.
No, I'm simply saying with Boost Mobile, I'm winning, 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 winning.
That's Pitbull's song.
No one says it better than Pitbull. With Boost Mobile, you're winning. Switching at four lines for $25 per line per month. Unlimited gigs, four free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones, all in our super reliable, super fast network. Limited time offer while supplies last. Requires one port from eligible carrier and activation. One free device per line. Includes mobile optimized data. Additional terms and restrictions apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
Hour number one of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn wraps up. Thank you to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports for joining us for his weekly segment, Odds and Ends, and Lee gave you his picks for championship weekend in college football. Plenty of other news going on before we get to Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse, who's going to join us to preview the Iowa-Michigan game this evening. As it pertains to that game, C.J. Frederick and Cordell Pimsel, according to Gary Dolphin, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, will give it a go. There was a lot of question as to whether they were going to play tonight. They did not practice all week, but C.J. Frederick and Cordell Pimsel will at least attempt to play this evening in Ann Arbor. News out of the Big Ten also, James Franklin has agreed to a contract extension to remain in Happy Valley. He will stay at Penn State, and that now makes it three coaches who leverage Florida State for a contract extension.
It's not
Matt Campbell, PJ Fleck, now James Franklin.
It's not a good enough program that anybody would actually want to go there, but it's a good enough brand that you can leverage anybody into giving you more money.
At this point, it's down. Like it's just weird because a few years ago, that's a program where they had the run of they could have gotten so many good coaches to join that program, and they chose Willie Taggart. But I will say this. Stay tuned for Love It or Leave It. They may not be waiting much longer on their coach.
That's a tease.
That is a tease. I think they know who their coach is going to be. And I have a feeling we may find out early next week who their new coach is going to be. Not Matt Campbell, not James Franklin, and not PJ Fleck, but I think they have zeroed in on somebody, and that somebody, I believe, has mutual interests. So at 5:30, we will have Love It or Leave It, and I will talk a little bit more about that and a few other jobs that I think that might be filled sooner rather than later in the SEC, and a very recognizable and, may I say, abrasive name, polarizing figure, is likely going to be returning to the SEC. How's that for a tease?
Ooh. I mean, it was about as good as the first one.
3193.
Are you talking about... Okay, I won't say it.
8699 says Deion Sanders.
He knows.
No, not quite. But good guess. Remember the rumors out there that they were looking at him?
Came and went so fast.
Yeah.
Gosh, that really would have been something.
Yeah, but I don't think that was ever actually in the work. I don't think that was actually even talked about.
Some of the
silly season of college football coaching carousel rumors, they make me laugh. This time of year, they always are here. But we'll get to that during Love It or Leave It in hour number two. But first, we need to get to Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse. He covers the Big Ten basketball landscape as well as the Michigan Wolverines. And he is going to preview tonight's contest between Michigan and Iowa. Do the Hawkeyes have a chance in Ann Arbor? Can they keep it close? How can they keep it close? What has Michigan looked like under Juwan Howard and Phil Martelli in their first years on campus? We're going to ask Thomas that question when we return. But you can visit our website, kgymradio.com, to find our podcast that'll be available following the conclusion of our show, where Thomas, who joins us next, will be appearing. More on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center. News. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Knicks have fired head coach David Fizdale, who is in his second season with the team. New York coming off a 32-point home loss to the Nuggets last night, their eighth straight loss. They have the worst record in the East at 4-18. Now to a struggling NFL team, the Cowboys, who've lost three in a row and 4 of 5, suffered a 7-point loss to the Bears last night. ESPN's Damian Woody on the Cowboys' woes.
Jason Garrett's going to be held accountable. He's not going to be the Cowboys' head coach in 2020. But let's not absolve the players in this whole fiasco with the Dallas Cowboys. Because what's amazing here, they still have everything in front of them. The division is right there in front of them, and it seems like week after week after week, we're seeing the same thing from the Dallas Cowboys.
And today, Cowboys team owner and GM Jerry Jones told 105.3 The Fan in Dallas that he deserved share of the blame for the team's losing streak. Also cursed twice during the interview that was cut off midway through. College football, Penn State agrees on a new 6-year contract with head coach James Franklin.
Coming up on Monday, we'll recap the Seahawks-Rams and look ahead to the return of Eli Manning on Monday night when the Giants visit the Eagles. And the college football playoff is coming. Who's going to need flights to New Orleans? Golic and Wingo Monday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah. That's the way you after work at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. It's the place to go with the guys. Catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. Hey, you gotta go to work. But when you clock out, it's time for after work. After work at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
At the 1955 Rose Bowl, Goodyear began providing stunning aerial coverage of college football, forever changing the way the game is experienced. In recognition of its significant contribution, the Goodyear blimp is being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame as an honorary member. It's the first non-player or coach to ever be inducted. Goodyear is celebrating this honor by reminding you to look forward and make sure you're prepared for the road ahead. Discover more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Looking for the perfect gift? Then look no further than your local Ace for lots of perfect gift ideas. Whether it's Steel, Milwaukee, Traeger, Weber, or Yeti, you'll find all these great brands and more in one great place, your neighborhood Ace. And to help make sure your gifts are under your tree on time, you can buy online and pick up in store or get it delivered from your local Ace. This Saturday, don't miss a chance to meet Santa at our neighborhood Christmas party from 11 to 2. Get great deals and more when you wrap it in red at Ace at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. Kyle's final day here as a full-time employee of KGYM Radio before he goes on to another fantastic career opportunity. But we have a couple more hours left with Kyle on our team, and why don't we get everyone ready for the beginning of Big Ten basketball as the Iowa Hawkeyes get their Big Ten schedule underway, as do the Michigan Wolverines in Ann Arbor. Tip-off scheduled for about a half an hour from right now, and who better to preview it than friend of the show, Thomas Bendit, the managing editor of BT Powerhouse of the SB Nation Network. He joins us now. And Thomas, before we get into this, I know we're a couple years into this. Have you warmed up at all to the early Big Ten games before a little bit of a break here in early December?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me, guys. But you know, I generally kind of refer to it jokingly as the appetizer. Now, you get two games for each team here in the first weekend or first week or two of December here before the real stuff starts in January. But I don't mind it. I'm still kind of mixed about the 20 game slate as opposed to the old 18 game slate. But I like it. You know, it's better than watching these teams play some, you know, garbage bye teams for a week and a half. So not much to complain about on that front.
The Michigan Wolverines have had a really crazy start to the season. They come in unranked. A lot of questions as to what things would look like with Juwan Howard and Phil Martelli taking over for John Beilein. And they go to the Bahamas and are absolutely catch the eye of the nation very quickly. They beat Iowa State. They beat North Carolina. They destroy Gonzaga. They're ranked. They go from unranked to number four in the country. Then they go on the road against number one Louisville and lose. But what are your early impressions of this team under Juwan Howard?
Yeah, I mean, I will start by saying that, you know, coming into the season, really it was an unknown. I think people were very mixed on this team, just given the fact that they lost three key players from last season, their top three scorers, actually. And then, of course, they lose John Beilein to the NBA. Juwan Howard comes in, and nobody was quite sure what to expect as far as, you know, how were they going to look? Were they going to shift to a more post-oriented approach? You know, how schematically, how are they going to look? And then, of course, how's he going to look in his first time as a head coach? You know, is he going to be able to adjust, or are they going to struggle a little bit? And so far, I think so good. You know, the loss to Louisville was obviously frustrating for Michigan fans, but I think on the road against an opponent like that, you really can't complain too much about dropping that one. But so far, I mean, they've been running a lot of the stuff they actually did under Beilein, with a lot of the ball screens, focus on the perimeter. And the only big difference I'd say as far as in-game is a lot more action with John Teske, the big man down low, which you probably expect with Juwan Howard being a big man himself. There has been a little bit of more of an emphasis on getting the post touches and trying to score in the paint with Teske, but otherwise they look similar to last year, and obviously a big part of that is most of the roster is the same as it was last year. But I think they've done a good job. This team is better than I expected, to be honest, and you know, we'll see what happens on Friday night with them.
You mentioned this is Juwan's first gig as a head coach. So far, what's maybe an area that he's a little bit more capable in than what you expected, and also what areas are going to require the biggest learning curve?
Yeah, so I mean, I think where I think he's done a great job, which is something that I think maybe gets overlooked, is the fact that he acknowledges certain things he doesn't know. You know, that's why he brought in Phil Martelli, a very, very experienced former head coach as an assistant, recognizing, you know, he needs to be active with timeouts. He needs to be focusing on these areas as a head coach. I think that's something that, you know, you have to appreciate, and the fact that he was humble enough to actually recognize, hey, I need some help in this area or that area, and the willingness to play through the perimeter, play through the guards. And defensively, I think they've done a great job this year. There was a lot of concern. They lost a couple of their assistants with Beilein's exit, and really Luke Yaklich, who was an assistant coach for them last year, led their defensive resurgence under John Beilein, and a lot of people wondered if that was going to hold up. But Howard has them playing great defense. Really, they're trying to force opponents into those long contested twos, which a lot of teams are these days, but Michigan doing a great job at that. As far as areas he needs to improve, it's still early, and considering they've only lost one game, it's hard to complain about too much. The one thing I do think he's going to have to watch a little bit is the bench rotation. So far, he's been glued to the old two-foul rule, where if a player gets two fouls in the first half, he sits them for the rest of the half. I think that's something he's probably going to need to open up to a little bit more. And then as well, in that Louisville loss, he stuck with the starters really deep in the first half, and I think in today's college basketball world, you know, you might have to rotate those guys a little bit sooner if you're struggling like that. So a couple things to watch, but I mean, again, they've done pretty well out of the gate, so not a ton to complain about.
Thomas Bendit, the managing editor of BT Powerhouse, joining us in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn ahead of the kickoff to Big Ten basketball as Iowa meets Michigan in Ann Arbor in just under half an hour. And you mentioned Phil Martelli and the fact that Juwan Howard realized, all right, I need a coach with some experience on my staff. But this just isn't any coach with head coaching experience. This is a guy who's been to the Elite Eight and had St. Joe's as a number one seed. How big of an asset is Phil Martelli to Juwan Howard in his first year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been a wonderful asset so far, and I think he's a big reason why they are starting off so well. You know, having a guy where there isn't going to be this very, very steep learning curve is, you know, great for the Wolverines. By way of background, I think there was a mutual connection with John Calipari or something like that Howard has discussed, which is kind of was interesting to hear. But he's been really valuable. And one of the things that I think a lot of Michigan fans were concerned about when Beilein opted to leave and Howard came in was, you know, in today's college basketball world, it seems like almost half the teams are ruled by transfers. There's guys coming in, there's guys coming out. And Michigan did not have a single transfer this offseason, which, I mean, at least in my experience covering these head coaching transitions, unless it's a guy on the staff getting promoted, that is exceedingly rare. And I think it's a big reason why Michigan hasn't regressed substantially this year, at least so far, is the fact that they were able to maintain that cohesion. And you have to think Martelli and Howard and keeping Saadi Washington as well, one of their other assistants who worked under Beilein, was a big part of that.
You mentioned John Teske as a primary beneficiary of Juwan Howard being the head coach. He's a 7'1", 270-pound center. He's playing awfully, awfully well this season, leading the team in blocks. He also plays the passing lanes, doesn't take dumb shots. How important is it to have a player like that in the college game, especially in the Big Ten?
Oh, I think it's super valuable. I mean, you see the big men around the league this year. You know, Caleb Wesson doing work over at Ohio State so far. Tillman over at Michigan State. And, of course, Garza for Iowa. It's a great group of big men. I think this might be one of the better groups we've seen in quite some time as far as the Big Ten is concerned. And Teske, just very, very smart player. Great defender. And I think it's added a lot to their offense so far, the fact that he has been able to get on the block down low and get a bucket here and there when they need it, because, you know, Michigan, Xavier Simpson is the guy that pushes everything for the Wolverines. And, you know, last year when it wasn't often, you know, Michigan won 30, maybe more than 30 games, but at least 30 games last year. So they didn't struggle that often, but when they did, it was usually the teams that could slow down Simpson, and Michigan struggled to have that sort of change up, and Teske's provided that so far. Louisville did a great job at defending him on on Tuesday night. But I expect he's going to be a big player in Friday's matchup with Iowa and going forward as well.
You mentioned Xavier Simpson, and when I watch him, he's the opposite of flashy. There's nothing about him that necessarily jumps off the page, but you mentioned he is the nucleus for everything. He chips in offensively. He is averaging almost 9 assists per game. He even chips in with 4 rebounds per game. What about him makes him so effective in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of things. Early on in his career, I think he got a lot of accolades. They ended up in the national title game his second year on campus. But at this point, I almost think he's a little bit underrated. I mean, he's such a good defender, and especially when they get dialed up and dialed in. I mean, he is one of the toughest guys to score on, not only in the Big Ten, in the entire country. And moreover, on offense, he's really improved. His three-point shot is probably his weakest part offensively, but he has ticked up there gradually. He's enough of a threat now to keep a lot of defenders honest, meaning that they can't just move off of him and, help somebody else. And of course, he really understands the offense. He's the son of a basketball coach, so obviously that helps. But he's just such a hardworking player, so committed to winning, and he's a big part of this Michigan team. And all credit to Juwan Howard; he deserves it for how Michigan started so far. But I honestly think, if this roster stayed together with Simpson, they were going to be good regardless, just because Simpson's that kind of player.
I want to ask you specifically about one more player, and that's Isaiah Livers, leading scorer on the team at over 15 points per game. He's got good size, and the guy's just stupid hot from three to start the season. Does he look like a pro to you?
I was a little hesitant to get on there before the season, but he's lost some weight. He's a lot faster. He's a lot more athletic, and at this point, I think he's got to be in the discussion. First round is probably a bit much, but could he potentially slip into the second round or land on a roster? I mean, at this point, you got to think it with the way he's playing, but of course, long way to go. So we'll see if that 3-point shooting can hang on for him.
One of the biggest stories of the trip to the Bahamas was that Franz Wagner was going to be making his debut. Has it been sort of a feeling out process for the freshmen so far?
Yeah, definitely. And Franz Wagner, one of the better freshmen in the entire 2019 class. He only rated as a 4-star per 24/7 Sports and those folks, but as an international prospect, I think he was a bit underrated, just because it's hard to scout somebody playing over in Germany, but I think he's as the talent of a 5-star prospect. He's played okay so far, but I will say he's coming off of an injury, and his first game back was Iowa State, followed by North Carolina, Gonzaga, and Louisville. So not exactly the easiest time to get started. And on Friday, they're going to face Iowa, who looks to be a pretty solid team as well. So we'll see. I think he's a player that needs a couple games against the weaker competition of the non-conference slate, which Michigan should have here late in the year, during the holiday part of the year. But overall, I think he's done what generally he's been asked, but yeah, he definitely has a lot of room for improvement. And so far, I think he's just trying to get his feet under him.
So on paper, Michigan would clearly appear to have the upper hand tonight. But if it, as far as Michigan is concerned, if there are any concerns to be had, what could Iowa do tonight to win?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to start out with, if Garza is able to score against Teske, I think that's going to be a problem for the Wolverines. A lot of that defense rides on Teske blocking shots and keeping people out of those easy opportunities down low, which will in turn, of course, open up things elsewhere. And then, Michigan, I think their defense is a lot stronger than their offense so far this year. And, Iowa's defense hasn't necessarily been its greatest strength over the last few years. But if they can disrupt Xavier Simpson on the perimeter, I think they have a shot to come out with the upset. But does Iowa have the defensive guards to do that? I don't know if we've seen it so far. But ultimately, I think for Michigan, if the upset's going to happen, it's going to be Xavier Simpson not getting comfortable. He's not able to find those open shooters on the perimeter or Teske down low. And that leads to the upset. But we'll see. So far, that's sort of been the kryptonite to Michigan over the last couple of years with Simpson. And again, I don't know if Iowa has the pieces to get it done, but they'll have to try something there to come out with the win.
Thomas Bendit, the managing editor of BT Powerhouse, joins us on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. This Iowa team, it's been a strange couple of months. Tyler Cook leaves for the NBA. Isaiah Moss transfers to Kansas. Jordan Bohannon has hip surgery. We didn't know in the offseason whether or not he was going to play. We still don't know whether or not he's going to play the entire season. He has a few games to decide whether or not he's going to redshirt. There was that blowout loss at home to DePaul. They go to Las Vegas. They beat Texas Tech. They play one good half against San Diego State. They beat Syracuse on the road. Are you as confused by this Iowa team as we are?
Yeah. I mean, I know I was doing a podcast a week or two ago, and I was talking about, you know, these are the teams I think are good in the Big Ten. These are the teams I don't think are so good. And I had two or three teams where I was like, wait and see. And Iowa was one of those teams because they've played very, very well at certain points. And at other times, as you mentioned, they really looked like a team that's not going to make the NIT. And I think Iowa has the capability to push for the NCAAs when all is said and done. Obviously, they're going to need to do work over the next couple of weeks if they want to feel good about that. But overall, I mean, to me, it's kind of the recipe of what they've been the last couple of years, which is great offense and so-so defense. And if they can get that defense a little bit better, I think they'll have a chance to do some damage. But otherwise, it could be one of these weird years where hot one night and cold the rest.
So you mentioned the teams in the Big Ten that are at the top, the tier one. Is the top five almost spoken for at this point, where it seems like there is sort of a gap between five and six? I'm looking at Maryland. I'm looking at Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue.
Yeah, I agree. I think Purdue, before, people were a little hesitant to put them in that top group. But, you know, after they beat down Virginia at home on Wednesday night, I think they deserve to be in that discussion. And, yeah, I think there are five teams, and I think there is a sizable gap underneath that. And, you know, this year I talked about it on our site, I know, but I think this might be the best shot the Big Ten's had at a national title in a long time, because I think you have five teams that very reasonably could argue their top 10 units, if not better than that, between those five teams you just mentioned, you know, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Purdue. And if you can't get the job done with five in the top 10, you know, I don't know if it'll ever happen, but it's going to be tough though for all the teams under that, because you're going to be playing these five teams more often than not in the league this season. And, you know, Iowa, I would include in that group of, you know, they're going to have a really tough schedule this year, just given the fact that the Big Ten seems so top heavy this year. But it's going to be fun for definitely the fans of the top five and people that just want to see good basketball.
I know this is a ridiculous question because we ask this every single year, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Any concern with the way that Michigan State has started the season? I know they've lost against lost to Kentucky and Duke, but that game against Virginia Tech sort of raised my eyebrows as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have some. I'm not in a panic mode at all with regard to Michigan State, and the main reason is, as you said, you know, it's very early in the year. Tom Izzo teams very rarely peak in November, December, January. They peak in February and March, generally speaking. And I think Michigan State, if you look at how they play, they're still a great defensive unit. They still have Cassius Winston, who, for my money, is still the best player in the Big Ten, period. And they got to figure out some roles for the other guys. You know, they had a lot of senior leadership last year. Guys like McQuaid and Goins, who they knew when to take their shot. They knew when they needed to do, you know, A or B. And they have guys right now, you know, a couple freshmen in the rotation who they don't know what the role is yet. I don't know if the coaching staff does yet either. They're still working that stuff out. And once they get that kind of stuff in play, I think this team's going to look a lot better. But, you know, as far as the expectations, yeah, I think at this point you can say they're probably not as good as we thought they were, meaning ranked number one preseason national title favorite. At this point, I you couldn't say honestly that you think they're the best team in the country. But I still think they're a top 10 team, and I think by the season's end, they're going to be right there competing for in the second weekend in March, if not to go further.
Thomas Bendit, the managing editor of BT Powerhouse. Thank you so much for joining us, Thomas. Enjoy the game tonight and enjoy your weekend.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
5:30 tip-off, which means just about 10 minutes away from Big Ten play getting underway as the Iowa Hawkeyes and Michigan Wolverines will square off in Ann Arbor. And Kyle, we've discussed this before. You can be cautiously optimistic about Iowa, and I think that's a fair stance at this point with this team. They haven't necessarily been as bad as some people had feared. There was that loss to DePaul, but they took care of business against Texas Tech. They beat Syracuse on the road. They're sitting at 6-2, still all kinds of question marks and still a large cloud hanging over this season. But there will be times where they get blown out. And this tonight could very well be one of those times where things just look very ugly. And it doesn't necessarily mean the season is over. I think this team's ultimately going to be judged by A, how they play at home, and B, how they play against the mid to lower tier teams in the conference that they're competing with to try to jostle for position come the conference tournament. Tonight, it could very well be ugly, but that's not necessarily going to be a reflection on how the entire season is played out. They've gotten blown out on the road by Michigan State before is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I honestly think that's a perfect way to preview this game, is that Iowa has been, it's proven to be feisty so far, especially through all the health issues. They've shown up, won a couple games, but like you said, there's going to be nights this season where they're just simply outmatched. And I'm really looking forward to watching Luka Garza and Teske go at it, but I just think that Michigan's got a little too much. Who's going to check Xavier Simpson? Who's going to line up with him and cause problems for him? Joe Toussaint is going to be out there and doing it sometimes, but it's not like Joe Toussaint's going to be playing 40 minutes tonight.
I'm excited to see how Joe Toussaint responds to it, because we know that he has that kind of tough guy attitude, that playing point guard, he's going to check anybody. He's not afraid of anybody, but this is good. That's what the Big Ten is.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the Big Ten. It's a physical brand of basketball, and he's going to get his first introduction to it tonight in just about 5 minutes in Ann Arbor. I think he's going to respond to it well, but he's going to be sort of the microcosm of this team. You're going to see moments of brilliance from him, and you're going to see mistakes, as you would from any freshman, and nights where his shots aren't falling, And at times he gets exposed a little bit. That's part of the learning curve. But I think that he has the wiring to withstand it. And I'm excited to see how he responds. And now in a hostile environment for the first time in his career.
And I think if Fran McCaffrey tells him, you know, offensively, you know, you're gonna turn the ball over, or, you know, whatever, you're gonna make some mistakes, and we know that. But if you go out there tonight and just check Xavier Simpson, make things extremely difficult for him every second that you're on the floor, that's what Iowa's needed for years.
You think they're going to have to go to him early? That's the thing. Like, against these really good point guards, that's where I feel like their biggest issues come from defensively, not being able to stop dribble penetration.
When your opponent's coming up and just initiating its offense and you're not causing any issues ever, you know, how can you expect to cause problems for anybody?
And that's why I wonder if Joe Toussaint's going to sort of get thrown in there early and often in that role of being that guy to cause some problems defensively. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to keep you updated throughout the game as we're on the air for 90 more minutes. And we're going to have Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com joining us for the big hour, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in about half an hour. But before we get there, we need to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get you your second Alexander Lumber Big Board update of the day, and then a Friday staple, Love It or Leave It. It's on the way next.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Tanager Place is holding a special screening of the documentary Angst, December 9th and 10th at the Cedar Rapids Public Library. Join them for a look at childhood anxiety through the eyes of youth, parents, educators, and experts. The event is free and open to all.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
It's a people business. You create it by taking care of people.
Fairfax State Savings Bank CEO Dave Newhouse.
It was fun growing up in a small town. If there was any houses locked in Fairfax, I'd like to find them. I roller skated on the best cement in town up around the bank.
Dave is celebrating his 89th birthday this year. Fairfax State Savings Bank is celebrating their 95th.
You can have all the glorious whatever you got. Doesn't mean a thing. It's the people.
SeeTheBankHere.com. Member FDIC.
Happy holidays, audience. You gotta have Manly Man snow removal from Vernon Village. True value, right, Hal?
Sure do, Jim. And an Aaron's 24-inch deluxe two-stage snow blower is just $1,099.
Great gift. And a 24-inch spring steel brace snow pusher is just $39.99 at Vernon Village. True value.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village to 71441.
Vernon Village. True value. 3501 Mount Vernon Road Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at lindertire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at lindertire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back to Todd Brommelkamp's show with Alex Kuhn on all three of our KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 106.3 FM and 107.5 FM. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann on Kyle's final day here at KGYM as a full-time employee before he heads to greener pastures and makes a six-figure salary
seven.
And leaves us all in the dust.
Bye. No. I'm gonna the next 90 minutes are gonna be a little bit more difficult than I thought they might be, but we'll do it.
You'll
make it happen.
Your eyes have been welling up a few times today. Like, I know you're not gonna cry per se, but I can tell like they're getting a little heavy.
I am not,
with everybody coming up and saying, "See you,
yeah,
see you, Kyle." You're not good at goodbyes, are you?
I am a little bit sentimental, I will admit. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people in this building that I see every single day, and I you know, I look forward to seeing, like, you know, you, for example, Alex, we didn't really know each other before I worked here. I now consider you a friend of mine, and I'm not going to be seeing you every single day like I do typically. And somebody like Rob Howe, you know, I didn't really know Rob before I worked. No, I definitely didn't know Rob before I worked here. See him a couple times a week. I really enjoy seeing Rob, and, you know, it's not going to be my life anymore. So it's a little bit weird. It's kind of hitting me because, you know, 5 o'clock just passed and everybody's coming back here and saying farewell. So it is hitting me right about now. It's going to be a little bit weird.
As a lot of the listeners on the Hurtini Stocker text line pouring in with their support for Kyle Mann and his future ventures, but we can't let you get out of here for the last time without doing a little bit of a Friday staple. And that's Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
All right, Kyle, I know that you're going to go out guns blazing on your final Love It or Leave It, so we'll start with you. Settling for mediocrity.
Well, yeah, the idea of settling for mediocrity is something that's familiar to Iowa fans, the Iowa sports scene, because especially, I'll focus on football a little bit. This past season is a really good example of it because, you know, most seasons Iowa's going 7-5, 8-4. This season they go 9-3. And, you know, a lot of years they're good teams, maybe a little bit better than the record would indicate. But, you know, more often than not, it's a winning team with good players that go on to become pros. And, you know, Iowa fans really like that. Iowa fans really like to know that year in, year out, they're going to be a winning program. They're going to put a few more guys into the pros. They can flex their muscles and say, look at our program. But Iowa fans have been accused of settling for mediocrity, and I think that it's a little bit true. And because in the wake of this 9-3 season now, there's been a lot of people to say, you know, 9-3, that's 9 wins. They're going to have a chance at 10 wins. That's something that doesn't really happen all that often with the Iowa program. But I just look back on this season, and it doesn't, me personally at least, I have a hard time not being a little bit disappointed. I you know, Nate Stanley, senior quarterback, more playmakers on the offense than Iowa almost has ever had. AJ Epenesa headlining a defense that turned out to be really, really good. You know, this should have been one of Iowa's best teams. And at 9-3, it kind of was. But you go back to the Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin games. It didn't even feel like they gave themselves a fighting chance, you know? And it all kind of comes back to the philosophy that Kirk Ferentz uses, the ball control, the time of possession, the bend don't break defense. It's everything is designed to be in a one score game in the fourth quarter. Maybe you win, maybe you don't. And that formula results in a lot of 7, 8, 9 win seasons. But every now and then, like Ohio State a few years ago, Minnesota a few weeks ago, the start of the Nebraska game, You can see that when Iowa knows it's going to require points to have a good week, they can put up points. It honestly feels like a decision where this week we're going to play regular. Next week, we're going to play a little different. We're going to be aggressive, and we're going to score points, and it normally works. And so I just have a hard time, you know, looking back on the Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin games, it just doesn't feel like they came in with the right philosophy. I think that they relied on the bend don't break, the let's keep it close, because that is what we want, even though we don't have a winning record in one possession games. I think that just Iowa's philosophies and the way that things are, it kind of is designed to be, you know, mediocre or slightly above average, which results in a lot of slightly above average seasons. But I just think that they're a small tweak to their philosophies and their aggressiveness. I think that they're just a very small tweak away from being 9-3 more often than not, maybe a 10-2 or an 11-1 every now and then. Iowa is really close to being in that next step up. And I just, you know, there are some fans out there who feel the same way that I do and try to demand greatness. And I want to encourage that. The fans out there who want things to improve, want Iowa to be better, keep saying it. Be loud, because there are a lot of people out there who are happy with mediocrity. And, you know, that's just, that is a battle that gets fought here in Eastern Iowa, in Hawkeye country. And, you know, to those out there who are fighting the good fight, keep fighting.
Number two.
No choice but to be skeptical.
Iowa and Michigan have tipped off in Ann Arbor, and they are tied at 8 early on in the first half. I don't know what to make of this team. I have said many times that they're sitting here at 6-2, and at least their season is not over before it starts, but there are still so many questions surrounding this team, including Jordan Bohannon, whether or not he's going to play the entire season. It looks like he probably will not. There have been reports out there that he has not been practicing with the team. And Iowa's gotten off to a good start in the non-conference, but let's see if it translates over into the Big Ten. And that starts tonight, yes, against Michigan, but also the next contest that they will play in, a home game against Minnesota. You don't want to call it a must-win just yet, but you have to look at that game, and if you're Iowa wanting to get back to the postseason, wanting to get back to the NIT or the NCAA tournament, that's a game you have to win. You look at the mid-tier of the Big Ten, teams like Minnesota and Indiana and Penn State and Rutgers and Illinois. You're going to be judged this year on how you play against those teams and if you can defend your home court. And also, if you can go down the final stretch of the season playing decent basketball, which has been something that has evaded them at times under in the Fran McCaffrey era. I see a lot of people on the text line and on Twitter saying, I'm taking a wait-and-see approach. Right now with this team, you pretty much have no choice but to do that. I have no problem with you being skeptical at this point. Yes, there's sort of the fact that they've come out of the gate and played much better than some people thought they would. But at this point, if you're skeptical, you have a very good grasp on what this team looks like now and sort of the recent history of this basketball program. So I love this.
Number 3.
8-team playoff.
Alex, I love the idea of the 8-team playoff. And I think, depending how things play out this weekend, I think we're going to get one step closer to it. Whether it's the whether it's Oklahoma or Utah or, you know, even Baylor, you know, whoever it is, somebody's going to get held out of the playoffs. And I'm kind of hoping that something, I want Utah to make it into the playoff. I am supportive of Utah. I respect the heck out of a program that comes from where it does, that particular area, that particular recruiting pool. I love to see them having the type of success that they are. But with that being said, I actually hope that they kind of get, you know, a little bit shafted this week when we get to getting the playoff field put together. Because if Utah somehow wins their conference championship, is sitting here right now as the number 5 team in the country, and finishes the season at 12-1, if that team somehow gets left out of the playoff, the Pac-12 will, you know, be absolutely up in arms. And that gets us, you know, one more offseason of the Pac-12 being like, we gotta do something different here. We gotta change stuff up. I think the Big 12 is also going to get left out, possibly. But every time we have a major conference get left out, a good team get left out, that's a lot of uproar in the offseason that gets us one step closer to the 8-team playoff. And I don't see a downside to the 8-team playoff. You know, I think it would be simple. The Power 5 teams, or the Power 5 conferences, whoever wins each Power 5 conference gets into the playoff. Whoever is your best group of 5 team. And Alex, we were speaking off the air, and you actually added a caveat that I like. Your best group of 5 team, if they are a top 15 ranked team, gets into the playoff. So that's 6 teams, and you've still got room for 2 at-large bids. You know, if you think, you know, LSU is going to win the SEC, but Georgia's pretty good too. Georgia can get in. If Oklahoma is going to get in, but you also think Baylor's pretty good, Baylor can get in. You know, I just don't see the downside. You're still, you know, it's not like we're letting everybody in. There's, you know, how many teams in college football? We're still only putting 8 of them in. It's just an added extra weekend of really good football. I want the 8-team playoff. I love it.
Number 4.
Keep an eye out.
The coaching carousel is getting pretty crazy right now. I think there are programs out there in the Power 5. Right now, there are 11 FBS openings, and there are programs out there in the Power 5 that are going to announce that they are going to make a coaching decision come early next week. And there have been a lot of rumblings about potential candidates and whether or not schools are waiting on some of the candidates that are playing in championship games this weekend. UAB's Bill Clark, Mike Norvell from Memphis, Luke Fickell from Cincinnati, and yes, Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic.
There's a name.
If I were to handicap it right now, I would say there's about a 99% chance that Lane Kiffin is back in the SEC next season. I think that Ole Miss is looking hard at him. I think Arkansas would love to have him. Think about it from Arkansas's standpoint right now. Arkansas has been run into the ground even further than they were after the Brett Bielema days. They fired Brett Bielema 2 seasons ago, and they're sitting there at 4-8, And they're trying to find somebody to bring some life into the program. Now, they hired the wrong guy. Chad Morris was an absolute disaster. But right now, you look at where they're at, and they are in the SEC West, and they're in a conference. They're in a division with Alabama and LSU and Auburn. They need a hype man. They need somebody who's going to try to bite back at the establishment. That's exactly what Lane Kiffin would do. Could you imagine the week of the game Twitter wars between Lane Kiffin, not between Lane Kiffin, but tweets from Lane Kiffin at Nick Saban?
Oh, my God.
I remember the taste that we got in his 1 year at Tennessee when he was going after Urban Meyer. I think it's exactly what Arkansas needs, and if they don't get him, I think that Ole Miss might. I'm just sort of excited to see him back in the SEC because I would be shocked if he weren't.
Number five.
The Cubs dynasty.
I leave it. Alex, this isn't timely really at all, but I was just, you know, this being my last day and everything, I was trying to think of something that has changed over time, over my time here. And in my 2.5 years here, I think the way we've seen, oh my gosh, that the Cubs, when I first got hired here, the Cubs were fresh off a World Series. And, you know, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, Addison Russell, you know, everything was great. Everybody was young. They looked like all-stars. Cubs surefire dynasty. And, you know, I really don't have a lot to say other than it's crazy to look back on how much things have changed because going into this next season, you know, I don't even have to say going into this next season. As of right now, I don't know how good the Cubs are going to be over the next few years. And I can't believe that I'm in that situation. The pitching rotation has completely fallen apart. The bullpen hardly ever existed. And, you know, they're about to that time where they're going to have to make some tough decisions. They're not going to be able to pay everybody. Chris Bryant, you know, we've all heard the rumors that he could eventually be the guy to get traded or something. But, you know, the farm system's not great. They apparently have no money to spend. And so just in appreciation of how things can change over time, on this last day, I'd like to, you know, take a moment to appreciate how far the Cubs have fallen. And, you know, I'm not saying...
You appreciate that? I do, but...
appreciate's a very versatile word. It doesn't necessarily mean I like it, but I can appreciate it. It's, yeah, 2.5 years ago, I thought the Cubs were a surefire dynasty. And as of right now, December 6th, 2019, I don't know what to expect from that team anymore.
Number six.
The bowl selection process.
Leave it. Oh. I love bowl season, but the selection process sucks. It's like trying to figure out where Iowa's going to end up in a bowl game and figuring out the Big Ten rotation and who's been where 5 of the last 6 years and which bowl, year it is to, or which bowl gets a different team every single year. I hate it. The conference tie-ins make this unbearable because you're trying to figure out where your team is going to be spending the holidays if you're a fan of the team, and you don't find out where they're going to end up until like 3 weeks before the game, and you're trying to plan this trip in the middle of the holidays. To me, the bowl selection process can be changed by getting rid of the conference tie-ins and just having an all-out draft. Let's make this a spectacle. Like, we're going to tier each bowl game based on how much money they give to the NCAA. I mean, the NCAA is all about money, right? Let's have a full-on draft. After the college football playoff, let's make this more interesting, where we can have... You can take any team that you want.
That'd be an interesting TV show.
Any two teams that you want. Because right now, trying to figure out where Iowa or Iowa State or whoever else, whoever your team is going to be playing their bowl game is nauseating. I leave it.
Number seven.
Bohannon's hip.
I don't leave Jordan Bohannon's hip. I don't want to do anything to his hip other than just let it recover. But this whole I don't know if it's an experiment, a trial period. I don't know. Basically, what I'm getting at is I don't know why Jordan Bohannon is on the floor. Because leading up to the season, everything we heard over the offseason was that, you know, Bohannon's going to play if he can, if he's absolutely healthy. But if he's having any pain at all, then he doesn't want to spend his last year at anything less than 100%. And so I thought, well, okay, coming off a surgically repaired hip, you're probably not going to be at 100%. Jordan Bohannon's probably not going to play this season. You know, that Iowa's got really good prospect, or has potential for a really good season next year, bringing back Jordan Bohannon at that point, another year under everybody else's belt. But as it is, Jordan Bohannon is still playing. He's out on the floor right this second. And from where I'm sitting, I don't see the benefit of playing him as much as they have. And the first thing, they seem convinced that Bohannon is going to be able to play 10 games and still receive a medical redshirt. And I don't know who told them that. If they have rock solid information on that point, then that's great. But I cannot help but be concerned, especially here in our neck of the woods. We know what happened with Drew Ott a few years back. We know how goofy these decisions can get. If they're absolutely certain, they're as convinced as they are that he can play 10 games, there's just a bad feeling for me that once he gets around to applying for that waiver, they're going to say, oh, nope, 10 games was too many, sorry. I guess I just don't know enough about how that works, but if the medical redshirt is the idea, I just wouldn't be out there playing games. And then, you know, God forbid, I don't even want to say it, but God forbid he actually hurt himself worse. I just can't even imagine the backlash that Fran McCaffrey would get for that. But the most important thing, and this got brought up on the text line, is that we heard earlier this week that he's already not practicing because his hip is giving him such pain in between games. He's not practicing between games anymore. So that clearly tells me the guy is not at 100%, which if we take everything we've known up to this point, if he's in pain, he's not going to play the full season. And so at some point, you're going to need to figure out who's stepping up for Jordan Bohannon, who's making shots, you know, that's a big player that Iowa's taking out of its rotation, and you got to figure out how to adapt around that. You have to figure out how to move on without Jordan Bohannon for the rest of the season. Why delay? You know, we're in Big Ten play. You know, it's just how many two games I think they're going to play early in the season here. So they're not actually in Big Ten play, but they're playing a Big Ten team right now. And, I'm just saying they're getting further into the season. Why wait this long to figure out your rotation? Why have this guy in it who's not going to be a full-time or not going to be in it for the full season? It just get this figured out now rather than later is my whole thing. So having Jordan Bohannon out there, I'm not rooting against Jordan Bohannon. I'm not rooting against the team. I mean no ill will. I just don't understand why he's on the floor.
Number 8.
Good for Mitch.
I said this earlier. I believe that that Mitch Trubisky is in over his head in the NFL. But last night and the last couple of weeks, he's shown a pulse, which is something that he really hadn't as far as his game was going the entire season. There were questions as to whether or not he was broken, whether or not he had any confidence to go out there and get the job done. And to his credit, he's been able to do that as of late, including last night against the Dallas Cowboys. I'm still not convinced that it's sustainable. I'd still look at what they did last night as gimmicky, running the read option. I know he can move well, but it's not like he's Lamar Jackson out there running the read option.
It's so easy to see the ball in his hands.
Oh no, don't okay. Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that. But I do believe that he has at least shown that he can bounce back from adversity, which is a huge thing when it comes to being an NFL quarterback.
Number 9.
Cliche goodbye.
Yeah, my last day here. It's already come up a couple times. Don't have a whole lot to say. Don't have any sort of statement or anything, but, you know.
You don't have a prepared statement?
No.
But so you're just winging this?
I am. Like I said, I don't have much to say. I want to thank you for being a good colleague. Everybody else here, if you're listening, I want to thank you for making this a nice, fun, interesting place for me to work every day. I really am going to miss it. Hopefully, maybe some, who knows? You know, maybe somewhere down the line I find my way back here. But not only you, Alex, Rob, Scott, Mark, everybody, I've had a lot of good interactions with the listeners over time, too. So, thank you to everybody out there for listening to me babble. I know sometimes I say stupid stuff, but everybody played nice with me. Yeah, I really appreciate everything over the years. So that's really all I have to say.
Number 10.
Plus three.
I love this. The Chiefs, 3-point favorites in Foxborough. 3-point underdogs in Foxborough. Easy. Chiefs win outright. Wrong team is favored.
And that is
Kyle's last edition of Love It or Leave It. What we forgot to do is we need to get a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber before we get to the big hour in the 6 o'clock hour. Go ahead, Kyle.
The Iowa basketball team is dipping its toes into Big Ten competition tonight as they travel to face fourth-ranked Michigan, a team that leaped 22 spots in the rankings after beating North Carolina and Gonzaga before losing to top-ranked Louisville. Iowa showed up to at least put up a fight tonight with 11:34 remaining in the first half. Michigan leads 21-17. 15 of Iowa's 17 points have come from Luka Garza. He had 10 points in the first 5 minutes. So he's got 15 points, 4 rebounds. He's 6 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. They are still looking for a little bit of production from somebody else, though. The Iowa State women downed Alabama last night, 75-66, down in Tuscaloosa. Kristen Scott led with 20 points and 8 rebounds, both tied for game highs. Ray Johnson, Enos Nezequa, and Ashley Jones each joined her in double figures, so they'll now redirect their focus to the Cy-Hawk game. The Cyclones are set to host the Hawkeyes on Wednesday. It's a big weekend coming up for the UNI football team, matched up with South Dakota State in the second round of the FCS playoffs. The Panthers suffered their worst loss of the season at the hands of the Jackrabbits less than a month ago, 38-7 on the road, and they're right back to the scene of the crime tomorrow. The good news is that the Panthers are working on getting a bit healthier the deeper into the season we get, so somebody like Deion McShane should return to a larger role this weekend, and even tight end Briley Moore is doubtful but possible to play. That game's going to kick off at 1 o'clock, but we'll pick up coverage on our FMs beginning at noon. Before we get there, we've got the girls from Cedar Rapids Prairie hosting Iowa City West tonight on all three frequencies. And then tomorrow, in addition to UNI, we'll pick up coverage of the Big 12 Championship on the main gym at 10 and the ACC Championship on the main gym at 5:30. On Sunday, we're going to finish up with Ravens, Bills, Broncos, Texans, Chiefs, Patriots, Chargers, Jags, and Seahawks, Rams.
Thank you, Kyle. We appreciate that. You'll have one more Alexander Lumber Big Board update coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. If you're planning, or the team at Alexander Lumber will help you choose the deck that's right for your outdoor space and your budget. Visit them at their brand new location on 420th Street in Iowa City. We need to get you your final break of the 5 o'clock hour, and then we'll come back with the big hour brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. That's all coming up in the next 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere. More on the way after this.
The best gift ideas come from Iowa Book. A popular gift for that Hawkeye fan on your list is an Iowa t-shirt, sweatshirt, jacket, or cap from Iowa Book. You will find the largest selection of Hawkeye gear and gifts in the world at Iowa Book. They have all the top brands like Nike, Russell, Champion, Columbia, and Under Armour. For everything Hawkeye, shop Iowa Book. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Geico presents, not again, another voicemail from your roommate.
Hey, man, so I was in a rush to get to work and I left the back door open. Could you shut it? I left it wide open. While you're there, could you also turn off the oven and all of the burners? My mom never let me use the oven. I wonder why.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if it's your roommate's first time operating an oven. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to get your house ready for the winter so you can sit back and enjoy the holidays. HomeAdvisor can help get you started. HomeAdvisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. HomeAdvisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. So why wait? Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started on your next project. HomeAdvisor.
Before I got married, my dad told me, happy wife, happy life.
Really? Mine told me, get her bling, you'll be king.
That man's a genius.
Your JCPenney associate will help you find something that sparkles as much as she does. Shop select fine jewelry up to 60% off. Plus, save an extra 40% with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney rewards members get select diamond jewelry for just $25. JCPenney. Offers valid 12/5 to 12/11. Credit offer subject to credit approval. $25 diamond jewelry excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. See jcp.com for coupon and details.
Still time to vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question at kgymradio.com. How will the Iowa men's basketball team finish in the Big Ten standings? Top five, middle five, bottom four. You still have time to vote at kgymradio.com. This is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn returns on a Friday. Todd is out today. He'll be back on Monday as we wrap up the second hour of the show. If you missed anything, once again, our podcast will be available at kgymradio.com. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports joined us at 4:30 with his picks for the college football championship Saturday. And then Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse joined us to preview the Iowa and Michigan contest, which is about midway through the first half, and Michigan holds a slight lead. Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com, is going to join us in just a couple of minutes, talking Iowa basketball, bowl projections, all things Iowa Hawkeyes and Big Ten related during the Big Hour, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Don't go anywhere. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on a Friday as Rob is stepping into the studio right now. He will be joining us. We'll be back in just about 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. More on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Steve Lennox. David Fizdale out as the head coach of the 4-18 New York Knicks. Top assistant Keith Smart also fired today. Mike Miller takes over as coach on an interim basis. Fizdale 21-83 in less than two seasons. ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski on the Knicks making a change.
There is a culture at Madison Square Garden with the Knicks of scapegoating. Typically it falls on the coach. And you know, David Fizdale signed up to coach Kristaps Porzingis, have a chance at free agency to get some A-list free agents, and he has none of that. He has a roster that is built to be doing exactly what it's done, and that's get blown out on a regular basis in the NBA.
James Dolan has had 12 head coaches since he took over as owner in 1999-2000. NBA doubleheader on ESPN TV tonight. Game 1, Nuggets and Celtics. Tip in 1 hour in Boston. Game 2, Lakers and Blazers at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Bucks and Lakers tied for the best record in the league right now at 19-3. Bucks have won 13 straight. They're home tonight playing host to the L.A. Clippers. Tiger Woods will go into Saturday's final round of the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. Two shots behind the leader, Gary Woodland. Tiger, 6 birdies, just 1 bogey, and finishing with a 5-under-67 for the third round on Friday. Pac-12 championship between number 5 Utah, number 13 Oregon, from Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara tonight. Kickoff in a little over 1 hour on ABC TV. Coverage right now on other ESPN radio affiliates. Utes have won 8 in a row. Utah defense holding 6 teams to 7 points or less this season.
6th-ranked Oklahoma versus 7th-ranked Baylor.
Coverage of the Big 12 Championship begins tomorrow morning at 11 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ABC. Presented by Dr. Pepper.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, get your head in the game. This ain't no exhibition match. This is for real. You've got a house to insure, and there are no excuses because Progressive's Home Quote Explorer makes it easier than ever to get the coverage you need. Here's some music to get you pumped. Dum chugga 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 meow meow meow. Dum chugga chugga chugga. Feel that confidence. Dum chugga chugga chugga. Did I say stop saving money? No. Dum chugga 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 meow meow meow.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
Before I got married, my dad told me, happy wife, happy life.
Really? Mine told me, get her bling, you'll be king.
That man's a genius.
Your JCPenney associate will help you find something that sparkles as much as she does. Shop select fine jewelry up to 60% off. Plus, save an extra 40% with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney rewards members get select diamond jewelry for just $25. JCPenney. Offers valid 12/5 to 12/11. Credit offer subject to credit approval. $25 diamond jewelry excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. See jcp.com for coupon and details.
Happy holidays, audience. You gotta have Manly Man snow removal from Vernon Village. True value, right, Hal?
Sure do, Jim. And an Aaron's 24-inch deluxe two-stage snow blower is just $1,099.
Great gift. And a 24-inch spring steel brace snow pusher is just $39.99 at Vernon Village. True value.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah.
Just text Vernon Village to 71441.
Vernon Village. True value. 3501 Mount Vernon Road Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Final hour of the show, and that means on a Friday that it's time for the Big Hour, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. As I mentioned, Todd's out today, so Kyle is filling in for Todd. But as always, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com joins us on the program. Rob, what's up?
Sorry, I was watching the game.
What'd you say? I feel like you're not alone.
This could be a choppy hour with us watching this game on the TV.
5:30 start.
Yeah, strange.
First Big Ten game of the year.
Is that because Fox have the Pac-12 tonight?
You know what?
I don't know if
But that game starts at 7.
If that's a conflict.
I don't think so. I thought that ESPN might have the Pac-12 game. I'm going to check here.
You might be right.
Real quick. Nah.
I can't keep track of it. Who? What network?
You know, I think it might be Fox.
I know ESPN has the SEC. I'm aware of that.
Yeah, they have. Well, the SEC game's going to be on CBS.
That I figured.
The SEC championship game will be on CBS, and the AAC championship will be on ABC. It's all confusing.
And is the Big 12 on at like 10 in the morning tomorrow or something?
I think the Big 12 title game's at 11.
The 11 a.m. game on ESPN.
And you can hear it on the main gym.
So championship Saturday. Is the Big 10 game going to be a game?
I don't see how it can be.
I don't either.
I mean, I was like, last week, I was like, Michigan drives down the field. I was like, maybe they'll make a game of this thing. Nope.
No.
No, they're not going to make a game of this thing. Like,
it was a game for a quarter, and then it just was not a game. We had Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports joining us in the first hour, and we asked him about this game. He goes, well, Wisconsin's going to need a snowstorm. The problem is they're playing in a dome, so that's not necessarily.
Well, and you know what I had forgotten was they played in a rainstorm last time, and it still didn't do anything near helping them.
It didn't help them block Chase Young. You remember that game? That was like his coming out.
Yeah.
That was like, you can't block him. 3.5 sacks just completely disrupted that game.
I was trying to find GIFs to use on our Twitter account of Chase Young yesterday, and all of the Chase Young GIFs are from the Wisconsin game.
I wonder with the three-headed monster of Dobbins, Fields, and how that's going to – I don't think they've got a shot at winning the Heisman anyway, but I think that they're going to probably steal votes from each other.
Yeah.
It's Burrow.
It's Burrow.
Yeah.
Even if they lose tomorrow?
I would think so. I mean, Jalen Hurts has had a great year, but I think he's going to lose something because – that people are like, oh, this is Oklahoma's quarterback. They do this every year. Yeah. How special is he?
Okay, I've watched Jalen Hurts this year. He's been great. But when I'm watching him, am I thinking Heisman.
And he needs to be able to play defense. Because that team struggles mightily on that side of the ball. That's why I don't have a problem with Oklahoma. If Oklahoma plays well tomorrow against Baylor and Utah plays well tonight against Oregon. To me, Utah's clearly the better team.
Okay, thank
God. On both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
If you take both into consideration. Oklahoma's offense is better, but if you're talking overall team, I think Utah's the better team.
This Iowa basketball team, are you as confused by this team as we are? I don't know what to expect from here on out because we have an idea that Jordan Bohannon will not be playing after the Iowa State game. That's going to change everything. Like, Luka Garza has been absolutely incredible. Can he carry this team? There are so many questions, but at the end of the day, I think I've said this, at least it wasn't a situation like 2 years ago when they went to the Cayman Islands and lost to Louisiana Lafayette and South Dakota State right away, and the season seemed like it was over before it started. The DePaul game is kind of the one blip, but they've taken care of business against Texas Tech. They have that win. They went on the road against a bad Syracuse team, but they won on the road in the Carrier Dome. So the season is not over before Big Ten play, like a lot of people had feared, at least.
No, and I think outside of the Iowa locker room, I think most people are surprised with this start. You lose Tyler Cook, you lose Isaiah Moss, you lose Nicholas Bear. Bohannon's coming off hip surgery. I think
Jack Nungy tears his ACL.
I think it's reasonable to wonder what this team is going to be. I wrote this in my column today. I do kind of a notebook column on Fridays. This basketball team reminds me a little bit of Iowa football. They grind. It's defense. Which I can't believe I'm saying.
Wait a second.
They grind hard on defense. They play smart for the most part. They don't hurt themselves much. It reminds me a little bit of Iowa football, and there are going to be nights where they're just outclassed.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about that, or if they're playing a bunch of games in a short amount of time where maybe their legs won't be there, but they play hard and they play together. And, you know, it's cliche and people are like, play the fiddle or whatever. It's a fun team to watch because they play hard on both ends and they play together. They will make the extra. I think they average about 18 assists a game. I think they're in the top 5 in the country in assists.
Yep.
So, I mean, that says a lot about how these guys get along and the team chemistry, I think.
You mentioned that they're going to be nights where they're outclassed. I think back to years past, even on some of the better teams, you mentioned the defense. I think that's been the biggest struggle with this team is if they don't put up 80-something points in past years, they're having a tough time winning. And when they go on the road against a team like Michigan or Michigan State, they're in there for about 10-15 minutes. They're playing defense. They're playing decent defense. And then the other team goes on a run and it's just sort of downhill when they're playing away from Carver Hawkeye Arena. Can they be more consistent defensively? That's still my biggest question.
Yeah, and time will tell. I mean, we can't make a judgment on this season yet. They've been able to hold it together to this point, but the points you're making those are excellent. That this is a team that has to play 40 minutes balls out. They've got to play hard nonstop. They're just not talented enough to roll the ball out there. But and you know, we're what, 6 minutes left in this half. They've only given up 35 to Michigan. That's not a lot to a Michigan team playing at home that's probably pretty motivated after what happened in Louisville on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Luka Garza. He is tossing people around like ragdolls this season. Like that game against Texas Tech, nobody had an answer for him. We know that he's always played hard, but he looks like he's added a lot of strength. And it's showing right now.
I think he's an incredible. If we're looking at him now on the TV, he's in the best shape he's ever been. And we forgot he had, what, a 9-pound cyst removed before the season last
Still
year?
Still crazy to think about.
I don't think he ever really got to a it's hard to get physically conditioned during the season when you're kind of trying to take time in practice to rest for games. I think he had the all off season this year to get himself in shape, and he's done a great job. And he's come up. I mean, I thought he was skilled in terms of, you know, he's talked about Jack Sikma, you know, and Doncic and guys that he crafts his game after. He's not athletic, but he gets his shot off against anybody, and he's just so crafty around the rim.
And I think the point about his strength and what good shape he's in this year, I think you're seeing that, you know, put on display right now, because his matchup tonight, this was the toughest matchup he's had all season in John Teske. 7'1", something like 270 pounds. And Garza, I believe he just hit 20 points here in the first half, if not 21. He's something like 8 of 14 from the floor. So he is imposing himself not just with his skill that you're referring to, but he's really taking advantage of his size and his strength now, too.
And Teske already has 2 fouls in this game. And last year, remember when Iowa beat Michigan in Carver Hawkeye Arena? Yes. Teske got in foul trouble.
And Teske was the MVP of that thing in the Atlantis?
Yeah.
He was the MVP of that. So, I was really looking forward to this matchup tonight, and it's other guys that are hurting Iowa tonight, unfortunately, but Livers and Brooks are both shooting, I think, over 45% from behind the arc this year, which is just crazy that you have a couple guys, and then you have Ed Simpson into that as well. They're just – I'm impressed with Juwan Howard. I was wondering how he would transition into this job, and he's done a really nice job. I think he's kept what worked for Beilein and then kind of sprinkled his, at least what Fran told us yesterday, sprinkled in his characteristics into this team as well.
Yeah, it looks like they're running a lot of the same stuff offensively.
Yes.
And you just can't, you can't let the defensive identity that they created erode, because that's what they hung their hat on. Every year, you knew that no matter who they were playing, they were going to have a chance to win against really, really good teams because they're going to play good defense. And to credit to Juwan Howard, but I know it seems sort of disingenuous at times to say, okay, well, Phil Martelli's running the show, but you cannot overstate how much it means for a rookie head coach to have not just a former head coach on the sideline, a former head coach who was, in his day, one of the best in college basketball, in Phil Martelli.
And I think that speaks to Juwan Howard being humble.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys that would have played 19 years in the league, and what's he been a coach for, 6 years, I think, or 7 years in the league, that would have said, I know everything. What is this guy going to teach me? But he realized he needed, you know, he had some deficiencies, and what better way to get a veteran coach who just, you know, Phil Martelli wasn't recruiting 4- and 5-star kids at St. Joe's. He was developing kids, and that's important because Michigan, as good as they are, it's still a developmental program. They're not getting as high recruits as Ohio State or Michigan
John
State.
John Beilein never had a McDonald's All-American.
Right.
And how many guys he sent to the NBA?
Right.
Year in and year out. They were sending guys early to the NBA.
Yes.
Which had to be hard on him, which is why I think he went to the NBA, because he was tired of having to deal with that turnover in roster and how difficult it is to recruit against some of the best blue blood programs in college basketball. But something that you just spoke to is
just to interject for a second here. Did I see a story on Beilein where the players are saying that he's coaching too much, like He's a college coach. I thought I saw a story on that. Maybe you guys didn't see.
He was trending today. I did not take the time to look at why.
I think I may have caught something quick on Twitter where some of the Cavs were complaining that he's trying to...
New York Post. Cavaliers revolting against John Beilein after 20 games.
My guess is he'll be back in college here within a couple years. I don't know who would want to coach in the NBA.
Cavaliers reportedly frustrated with John Beilein. Guys drowned out his voice.
Oh.
That should go over
it's
well.
Bad start.
That should be a formula for success.
Oh. Well, I want to go back to the point that you made about Juwan Howard being humble. And yeah, we're going to tie this a little bit together here. We'll get back to Iowa basketball. But it takes a lot for a coach to admit, I need help with something, and to go out and address it. But we are seeing more and more how effective it can be. Like look at LSU this year. Mm-hmm. Ed Orgeron said, we need help with this offense. We have five-star recruits. We have all the talent that we need to be successful, and we still have the same problems. What can we do to fix it? Go out and hire Joe Brady from the New Orleans Saints, and look what they're doing. I mean, it's not just that they got better offensively. They are a historically good offense. Juwan Howard going into his first year. I don't have all the answers. This is going to be tough. Like, there's going to be a huge learning curve, coaching in college, recruiting. What do? Surround myself with a very successful head coach. And I kind of go back to something that Kyle was saying when talking about the Iowa football program going 9-3 and even to a certain extent with Fran and his program. That's, I think, a lot of people have been calling over the past couple of years. All right, there just needs to be a couple of tweaks. Can you bring in somebody that can help you in those areas? Because like we've talked about, those things have certainly worked in the past for other coaches.
Yeah, and if we kind of go back in the way back machine here, Steve Alford struggled early in his career. Then he brought Craig Neal in, mm-hmm. who had experience at a higher end as an assistant, who helped him with some X's and O's,
yep.
and that's when Iowa experienced its most success. So it's more than these programs are just too intricate. The scouting reports, especially in the Big Ten, you need a lot of minds working together to have success at this level. It's too involved to just have one guy being. You know, and Fran does it too. I mean, Kirk Sparrow,
right.
Sherm Dillard, those guys are all, yep. they all have a lot of coaching experience, and they put their minds together, develop scouting reports together, and it helps. And we see it in football too. I mean, Phil Parker's a pretty good assistant.
He is a pretty darn good assistant. But for this team, you mentioned scouting reports. Scouting reports in the Big Ten are going to try to find ways to take away Luka Garza, which means that guys around him are going to have to step up. When you see Joe Wieskamp, does it start there with guys who may need to take on a bigger role as far as scoring the basketball?
It's interesting because I started a podcast with Greg Bruner this week on HawkeyeNation.com, and I asked him about Wieskamp. I said, you know, what are you seeing there? And he said, this isn't unexpected because it relates to what we're talking about. It's scouting reports.
Yep.
Wieskamp went from maybe, you know, a third or fourth option to now he's the second option, and teams have him scouted. They know what his tendencies are. He has to adjust to that now. He has to find ways to counter, you know, like in baseball with when a pitcher and batter are playing that cat and mouse game, he has to find ways to free himself up, to be more aggressive. They need him to be better than he's been so far this year.
Yeah, I think back to Jordan Bohannon's sophomore season. You remember when he had that outstanding freshman year and he was the second option, second fiddle to Peter Jok, and mm-hmm. it gave him a lot of space. And then all of a sudden he's the number one target on every single scouting report. And it was a struggle because he was getting hounded every time he would cross half court. And for Joe Wieskamp, he's going to experience a lot of those similar scouting reports where you can't let him get open. You can't leave him open from beyond the arc because he's going to make you pay. Who else needs to step up for this team if, in fact, Jordan Bohannon is not able to play following the Iowa State game.
It's got to be Frederick, I think. He's looked good at times early in the season. I don't know how bad this quad injury is. He kind of downplayed it yesterday when we talked to him at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. But I've liked what I've seen from him. Not only his ability to shoot, but he's a pretty good passer. He sees the floor well. He defends. So they're gonna need Joe Toussaint to grow up quicker without Jordan there. He's gonna have to learn to play within himself better. And he's so electric, but he gets himself sped up, and that's normal for a freshman.
Right.
He's just got to learn how to play at a speed that is effective, but not too fast.
What do you see from him defensively?
Well, I mean, he can be a really good on-ball defender,
which is something that they have desperately lacked recently.
Haven't had since Anthony Clemens, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I would say you are correct. And I think but if you watch him defensively, he gets a little grabby.
Yeah.
He tries to reach around, steal, you know, where he's coming around, and he's going to get caught. Because another thing, and not to promote my podcast, but Greg Brunner talked about, you know, the referees learn your tendencies the first few years you're in college basketball, because you see a lot of the same officials. They kind of let you not get away with, but they allow you to play your style for the most part if you're not reckless. And he's going to get caught. He's going to get called for those ticky-tack fouls. So he's got to learn to play pressure defense without reaching and grabbing and getting himself, you know. And I think Luka has learned that, because Luka got in some foul trouble last year, which just not smart, doing, you know, reaching, grabbing, doing things he didn't need to do. And this year, he's only had the one game, right, where he was in foul trouble was San Diego State, and Iowa lost that game. So, you know, you got to stay on the floor, too. So I would be very surprised if Bohannon pushes past Thursday.
Yeah.
And I haven't printed this yet, or put on the website yet, but it's not. It's a little bit the surgically repaired hip that's bothering him, but it's his other hip that he may need to have surgery on, because he has been banged up so much on both sides of his body from all the minutes that he's played the last 3+ years that his other hip is bothering him as well. So it's more than just the recovery from the injury before. So it gives you a little bit more insight into this kid's toughness, that he's able to grind this out and play through this. But
is it strange to still see him out there? Because that's been a lot of people discussing if he's not going to play, maybe sit him early. And if he's banged up,
I think
he's still out there.
But he's still effective. That's the thing.
He is.
But I think, if you look at it, he can step away here after a couple more games and still preserve that red shirt and be able to play next year. If he pushes forward with this, and then in a couple weeks he realizes he can't play, he's screwed, because he can't get the red shirt. He can't come back.
Yep.
So that's kind of, I think, what the plan is. At least that's what I've heard. I don't have it from concrete sources, but I wouldn't be surprised if we hear beyond next week that he's getting treated for the other hip and resting the repaired hip. So he's breaking down. He's probably still in better shape than I am, though.
319-366-1600. This is
Danger Zone right here.
This is the big hour brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. And they are going to the half in Ann Arbor. And the Michigan Wolverines lead 50-38. As like you said, this is where a team gets a little padding, and you wonder how Iowa pro teams in the past respond to that.
This is a good
half
litmus test for what you were talking about earlier, because Michigan went on a run there to put them in a hole. How do they come out of the locker room now? Do they just let this thing completely get away from them, or do they fight back? I'll be interested to see the second half.
We will find out. What we need to do right now is we need to take a break. We'll come back, and Kyle will get you his final big board update as a member of KGYM. You're not going to want to miss this. More on the way after this.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere, and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at lindertire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at lindertire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
They deserve a gift of jewelry this holiday season, and you deserve to save. So find something beautiful at Siegel's. Save 30 to 70% over retail store prices and choose from a huge selection of new and estate jewelry. Siegel's staff doesn't work on commission. Their only purpose is to help you select the perfect Christmas gift. So find just the thing and save at Siegel's in Cedar Rapids, First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
When class isn't in session, take part in weekend extracurricular activities on Smart FM. Glenn Gardner takes you on a journey to concerts all over the world on Live from the Soundboard. Chris Jackson's got alternative rock on Where It's At. And of course, hit the lunchroom for the Beatles Buffet Sunday mornings. Weekends are better with extracurricular activities on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Welcome back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn rolling on here on a Friday, just about half hour to play with. You're listening to The Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. And before we get to Iowa football, we need to get you your final big board update of the day, and it is brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa basketball team's dipping its toes into Big Ten competition tonight, traveling to face fourth-ranked Michigan, a team that leaped 22 spots in the rankings after beating North Carolina and Gonzaga before losing to top-ranked Louisville. At the half, Michigan leads that game 50-38 after making a run late in the first half. Luka Garza has 27 of Iowa's 38 points. He's 11 of 19 from the floor. But Michigan is shooting 55% from the floor and 46% from three, so that has been the story of the first half. We'll keep you updated as we finish the show. The Iowa State women downed Alabama last night, 75-66 down in Tuscaloosa. Kristen Scott led with 20 points and 8 rebounds, both tied for game highs. Ray Johnson, Ines Nezuqua, and Ashley Jones each joined her in double figures, so they'll now redirect their focus to the Cy-Hawk game. The Cyclones host the Hawkeyes on Wednesday. It's a big weekend coming up for the UNI football team, matched up with South Dakota State in the second round of the FCS playoffs. The Panthers suffered their worst loss of the season at the hands of the Jackrabbits less than a month ago, 38-7 on the road, and they're right back to the scene of the crime tomorrow. The good news is that the Panthers are working on getting a bit healthier the deeper into the season we get, so somebody like Deion McShane should return to a larger role this weekend, and even Briley Moore is doubtful but possible to play. That game's going to kick off at 1, but we'll pick up coverage on our FMs beginning at noon. Before we get there, we've got the girls from Cedar Rapids Prairie hosting Iowa City West tonight on all three frequencies. But then tomorrow, in addition to UNI, we'll pick up coverage of the Big 12 Championship on the main gym at 10 and the ACC Championship on the main gym at 5:30. On Sunday, we'll finish the weekend with Ravens, Bills, Broncos, Texans, Chiefs, Patriots, Chargers, Jags, and Seahawks, Rams.
The Big Board Update is brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can visit them on their 420th Street off Highway 6 or the Answers by Alexander Showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Alex Kuhn, Rob Howe, and Kyle Mann for just about 20 more minutes. And Rob, let's shift to Iowa football. We're still trying to figure out where they're going to be spending their bowl season, although it's looking like... The chatter is, I can't tell if it's actually looking like it's going to be in San Diego or whether that's just wishful thinking among the media and the fan base at this point.
I think it's certainly the preferred destination without question. But, I mean, we've all been to this rodeo before. You just never know with bowl games. You know, the signs point one way and then it ends up being, you know, somewhere else. What was it? Was it last year or the year before where people were talking about the – what's the bowl game in Memphis?
The Liberty Bowl?
No.
You're thinking of the Music City
Bowl.
That was 2 years ago when they ended up in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Right.
I mean, it was a foregone conclusion. Everybody was I literally knew people that booked their hotel. Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't book travel before you hear what the game is. That's not good.
This season as a whole, we'll look back at the regular season before we know who the bowl opponent is going to be. You can't complain about 9-3 as far as the overall picture, but this season was incredibly complicated if you look at how it played out.
Yeah, I've been asked this, and I would classify this season as good.
Yes.
It was a good season. If they win in the bowl game and get to 10 wins, it's a very good season. It's not a great season. It's not a special season. But I think it's good now with a chance to be very good. I think you have to win a division for it to be special or excellent or however you want to say top level. And the opportunity was there this year. That's I think, the aspect of this that's going to and is eating at people. What may have been against two or three winnable games. There were three winnable games. And let's face it, outside of Ohio State, this isn't a great Big Ten this year. Good?
No.
But not like high level.
Like a lot of 9-10 win teams,
yeah.
Lot of good teams, but not...
And a few atrocious teams.
And a few really bad teams.
Northwestern, Rutgers, Maryland were bad.
It's crazy to think that Northwestern won the West last year, and they've fallen off so hard. Because, I mean, Northwestern never has the recruits or anything like that, but I kind of can't believe that Pat Fitzgerald let his program fall that far like that. It just seemed like... They had coaching good enough to make sure that seasons like this didn't happen.
Did it feel like they had been playing with fire for like the last 4 years, though, Northwestern offensively?
Oh, yeah, like, a little bit.
I was always shocked with how they would get the job done.
I think we underrated Clayton Thorson.
Yeah, we did.
I think he was pretty good. And I think this is a great example of what happens when you have inept quarterback play.
Yep.
They had nothing at quarterback.
Clayton Thorson wasn't great.
No.
But... What they had at quarterback this year was embarrassing. It was awful.
And they were really good on defense. It was kind of like Iowa's team. Nate Stanley is a competent college quarterback. Clayton Thorson was a competent college quarterback. Iowa had a really good defense this year. Northwestern usually has a really good defense. You can't have just atrocious quarterback play, though. There's no way to overcome that.
You bring up the next topic, Nate Stanley. Just a once again, a very interesting career. We mentioned this, you mentioned this preseason when we were sitting in Coralville at Fry Fest. You said he needs that West title to cement his legacy as a top-notch quarterback in Iowa history. He didn't get it, but I guess, is he going to fall under, when you think about Nate Stanley 10, 15, 20 years down the line, is he going to fall under exactly like we talked about this season, good but not great? How are you going to remember him?
Yeah, I mean, I remember Nate, and you guys and I have a different perspective here because we know Nate, and we've gotten to see him grow up a little bit, and I think you'd agree with me that just he's a great kid. He really is. He comes and answers our doofy questions every Tuesday. You know, no matter how stressful the situation is, he handles it well. I think he works his butt off. His lack of marquee signature win is not from a lack of trying or effort. And I know people will point to, well, he beat Ohio State. But it's more than that. If you look at Brad Banks, if you look at Ricky Stanzi, if you look at Drew Tate, if you look at C.J. Beathard, and those were the guys that I think I would put ahead of Nate in the 21-year era of Kirk Ferentz.
I agree 100%.
They all have a championship-type signature win that Nate does not have.
That's literally all that puts C.J. Beathard ahead of Nate Stanley.
Oh, I would agree wholeheartedly.
Like, you look at the statistics, and you compare one next to the other, and you're going to pick Nate Stanley every time.
Yeah.
Like, you see those two on the playground. Who am I picking to play quarterback? I'm picking Nate Stanley every single time. But it just shows college football and the NFL. Tom Brady is regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time. You think he's the most talented quarterback of all time? No, he's not. But it's all about wins and losses for the quarterback and championships at the end of the day.
And in fairness, would Nate Stanley have... Would they have gone undefeated in 2015 with that schedule had Nate Stanley been the quarterback?
Yeah.
And would C.J. Beathard have won a championship the last 3 years against this schedule that Iowa has played?
With this running game?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, I look at Nate Stanley, and I think it is fair to say that there are times when he's under pressure, he makes some decisions that cost him. Like, those are all fair criticisms. Not necessarily, he's not the most vocal. He's a little shy, which to you and I, he's a nice guy. But like, to be a quarterback, you want more of that vocal leader. I get all of those criticisms. But as I mentioned, the talent and that he has, and he's playing in an offense that's supposed to be a run-first offense that has not been able to run the ball. That's not easy.
And if you think about the games that they lost this year, those were teams teeing off on him.
Yep.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
Michigan.
Michigan.
Complete lack of respect for Iowa's running game. Just blitzed the heck out of Nate Stanley and held the Iowa to 3 points. Penn State did the same thing. They didn't need to blitz as much because their front four is better. But it was pressure on Stanley and just no respect for Iowa's running game.
Well, and even the Illinois game.
Yeah, true.
Where he throws for 308 yards with no touchdowns, has some overthrows, some really errant passes, which he had his fair share of those.
Sure.
But they ran the ball 32 times for 79 yards. I think he's a guy that in a lot of systems around the country, if he was put in a different situation where he had, let me put this gingerly.
Let's build on that for a second.
Yes.
Though. Is Iowa's offense obsolete? Do they need to change? Does it need to change what it's doing? We see all this RPO stuff. You see what Minnesota's doing. With the RPO.
Did you see him? They ran a little bit of it.
Yeah, not enough.
No, it was like...
so I gave away my opinion.
No, their offense is...
You're running play action when you can't run the football.
Well, yeah, that doesn't necessarily work. But their offense, like, you look at that Illinois game, and I was talking to my younger brother who watched the whole thing, and he's like, I don't understand what that offense is, because...
Yeah, what's the identity?
What's the identity? And B, it's like the normal plays that you see other programs run as part of their identity are like the gadget plays for Iowa. Like,
even Wisconsin.
Yes.
Throws in deception now. Because Jack Cohn's not a great quarterback.
No,
by
he's
any
not.
Means.
But they have some good receivers.
Good and receivers?
So does Iowa.
Yeah.
So does Iowa. And you see it at times, but... Just simple power schemes, simple gap schemes, varying the running game a little bit because they run
some blocking schemes. Try some hat on hat stuff.
So they run zone to the right, zone to the left, and at times that's it.
Yeah.
Depending on what game plan they have, I don't think that this would be a huge tweak. And in fact, I think that they have a offensive coordinator that wants to do it.
Yeah. I wonder because this is kind of the evolution of this. I never thought I would see Kirk Ferentz allow his defensive coordinator to come up with a cash position, or, you know, so we've seen that evolve. Will this offseason, will the head coach who is offensive-oriented, who admits to being in the offensive meeting rooms during the week and leaves, for the most part, the defensive meeting rooms alone, will he allow some evolution to happen within this offense? I think it needs to. I really do.
It has to. Okay, and I think that's kind of what I touched on a little bit during our Love It or Leave It segment, because you know, the defense almost always is what it is, and you're going to be in close games. And most years, it's a free pass to 7-5, 8-4, maybe 9-3. But just a little bit of innovation, like what you guys just talked about, you know, maybe you do give yourself a chance in a Michigan game, a Penn State game, a Wisconsin game. All of a sudden, you're 10-2, 11-1, and you're just a little bit of offensive innovation, a little bit of variety away from that.
Kyle, think about the game where you were most impressed with their offense, at least for the first half this year, and what it was.
Minnesota.
Right.
Minnesota.
Yeah. And what was it?
They knew that they were going to have to come in and do that.
Yeah.
It was they ran completely the opposite of what they usually run.
They didn't do what the opponent expected
exactly.
them to do.
It's that easy. Is it really that easy? Because it seems like it is.
I think it is. And here's the thing, though. Like, you have a coach who's been very successful for 21 years
mm-hmm.
and is still successful, still winning 8-9 games. My question all along is, can
you get to the Wisconsin level? Can you get to that level at least? Because I think that's doable.
I do too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though. Like, is there incentive for him to get there? Is there incentive to change? Or is it sort
What's there to lose at this point, though, Alex? I mean, he's 21 years old. He's built his legacy. Go for it.
That's the way I look at it. I agree. I agree. I'm just trying to get inside his head.
Yeah. No.
Because I think it's there. When I go back and watch an entire game, I'll see a play like, did they just run an RPO?
They slip it in like
that's their gadget play.
Did they just run a reverse to Amir Smith-Marset with Nate Stanley running 40 yards downfield as a lead blocker?
Did they pitch that ball to Tyler Goodson? Was that a pitch?
wait,
you're like, whoa.
Wait, was that a pulling? That guard pull? What is that? I just wonder if it's right now sort of a tug of war. When they get into a big game, does Kirk maybe revert back to how he's always played? I've heard him say many times, since 1985, big games, we play good defense, we don't beat ourselves. That's a recipe that we have had to win big games. Does that still happen?
That happened in 2009. It happened in 2015. But there's such a small margin
yes.
for error when you play
exactly.
that way. And you look this year... When did the division, kind of, for all intents and purposes, went out the window at Wisconsin? Then the next week when they come back and don't have to worry about the division being on the line.
They look great.
Here we go. Number time, you know, whatever Minnesota was. 9-0, 7-8 team in the country, whatever
eighth
it was.
In the country, yeah.
And we just come out here and just throw at the kitchen sink at them. And then I think we talked about this on the show. I interviewed guys after the game and they were telling me, yeah, we knew we had to play balls out. We just had to go for it.
And Kirk had said the same thing in the week leading up to that. Like, where has that attitude been all year?
I think you can take some risk, and the reward is worth it.
I think they have the players to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely do.
I look at 2016. That was the year Matt Vandenberg got hurt, and they were struggling in the passing game. Mm-hmm. Like, They didn't have receivers. I think they had 2,000-yard rushers that year and were still in like the bottom 10 in the country in offense. I looked at that team and I said, you know what? Maybe that team just does not have the personnel to throw the football. But now they have the personnel to throw the football, and they have the playmakers on the outside to expose other teams, especially in the Big Ten West, where you're seeing all these offensive-minded coaches who are struggling defensively.
Right.
Purdue, Nebraska, Minnesota's okay, but they still give up yards and points. I think it's there for the take. I'm with you. I'm just, it's not necessarily should they, it's will they.
But I think this was the year. Yeah, you had a third-year starter at quarterback. Yeah. You got A.J. Epenesa. You got Tristan Wirfs and Alaric Jackson, experienced offensive tackles. If you fast forward to next year, if Wirfs and Epenesa do what we think they're going to do and probably should do, let's face it, go to the NFL, you've got two new offensive tackles. You've got, I don't know what you've got on the defensive line. You're losing your two starting defensive tackles and Epenesa. Then that, now you're approaching it from inexperience, from a personnel standpoint. They had the experience this year.
I think the last 2 years kind of fall under that category.
No, I would agree.
I'd even say 2018 more because how down the Big Ten West was. The Northwestern won the Big Ten West. And the loss to Penn State, the loss to Purdue, the loss to Northwestern, the loss to Wisconsin. You had two first-round tight ends. You had a quarterback in his junior season. And you had some of these playmakers. Yeah. Defense was good. It was even more loaded than it was this year. The statistically, they were better this year, but they still had more playmakers on that side of the ball. That's sort of where the debate comes in. 9-4 last year, 9-3 chance for 10-3 this year. Yet you see small tweaks that could have made it even bigger, even better.
Isn't it confounding though? Because you look at it and you're like, man, how can I be down on 9-3?
Right,
and then they come back with, they only lost three games by 14 points to top 15 teams. But then I think about, but they had to pull it out against Purdue. And Illinois played them close.
Yep. Yeah.
And they needed a last-second field goal to win at stinky Nebraska.
Yes. Yeah.
And they got outplayed by Iowa State in the non-conference and won that game.
So it's, you can break every season down like that for Iowa. Because I think I heard you say on Love It or Leave It, you play this system is built to play to the fourth quarter.
No matter who you're playing.
And hopefully you pull it out.
Yep.
And with that margin of error, you know, because we saw what they did against Nebraska and Minnesota. They came out and stomped on their neck early and then were able to win instead of waiting to get to the fourth quarter.
319-366-1600. We need to take our final break of the day. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up here from the KGYM studios after this.
For great gift ideas this season, go to the Kids Zone on the lower level of Iowa Book. Get your kid game ready with game bibs and Hawkeye hoodies from their wide selection of Hawkeye Kids clothing. There's also children's books for toddlers through middle school, as well as games and quality toys. Shop the Kids Zone on the lower level of Iowa Book, downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Anyone who has ever needed self-storage knows what a hassle it can be. You have to rent or borrow a truck and then find someone to help you move your stuff. And let's face it, moving furniture and heavy items without damaging them isn't easy. Renting the unit is worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened,
and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The Senior Living Advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351. That's 1-800-471-4351.
We wrap up here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, and Rob Howe. Kyle, we got 2 minutes. Thank you so much for everything that you've done, and best of luck in the future. I didn't write that out. I'm not good at any of these sentimental speeches.
That's all right.
What I got for you.
As I revealed to the audience earlier, you and I have become friends.
Yes.
I will be texting you from time to time.
Anytime.
So I'm not so concerned about losing touch with you, Alex.
Yeah, you're gonna be down in Iowa City anyway. But
Rob, may I text you every now and then?
I live in Iowa City. We'll do lunch.
Perfect.
Rob, things have gotten away from Iowa a little defensively in this game, but they've hung in offensively at times. Luka Garza is absolutely ridiculous so far throughout the. How many points does he have?
29 right
29
now.
Points.
And somebody, and we were talking about it off the air, somebody asked me on Twitter what the record is, and it's John Johnson, 49 points in 1970. So Luka's got a little ways to go.
Well, if
it's
he
a little
scores,
higher than I thought it would be.
If he scores 20 more points, we'll have something to talk about on Monday. Todd Brommelkamp will be back with us on Monday, and we'll have Mac McCausland joining us to recap this game and get ready for a contest against Minnesota for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And then John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, will be joining us as well, as we're going to know where Iowa and Iowa State are going bowling, and we're going to know who's in the college football playoff. All things college football playoff and bowl related on a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And next week, Rob, we're going to be able to break down a bowl game, probably, hopefully, maybe in San Diego.
I know where I'll be going, and it'll be warm. Wherever it is, it's going to be warm, and I will appreciate that.
Our podcast will be available momentarily at kgymradio.com. And we say thank you to everyone who listened and everyone who joined us today. Have a great weekend.
Diabetes, high blood pressure.